Wow. Thank you, worship team. My goodness. That was pretty good, huh? Shoo. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. You deserve the glory, and then hallelujah right on the back end. That was huge. It's not fair to me. No, I just feel like being alone and staying there for a little. Like there's no one like the Lord. Like, don't ever get rhetorical with that. Don't get religious. Don't get used to church language and services. Let's get to know him. Like there's nobody like the Lord. And I'm not trying to hype that. It's just, you can't even express that, really. There's no language. Like he loved us so much. He's not mad at you. We grew up, sometimes our parents meant well, and they're like, well, you just broke the heart of God. You didn't break the heart of God. God loves you. He wants change. He wants repentance. It's not cool, some of the things we did. I'm not saying it's just okay to live a certain way. No, it's not. We were created for something. But God's not what we've painted him to be to each other. He sent Jesus on the earth. He healed everybody that he touched, everybody that came to him, he healed. Why? If you read Corinthians, he wasn't imputing their sins to them. He wasn't giving them what they were due. He was letting mercy triumph over judgment and revealing his heart to humanity. That's incredible. I don't know about you, but that blesses me beyond measure. Thank you for going where y'all went tonight. Oh my goodness. Please take time in your life to get to know the Lord that way and get alone and just see when it's just you, that you're one of two things. You're out of your mind and you should get a hobby, or he's real and he'll meet you there. And I'm convinced he's real and he's met me there many, many, many times. In fact, he's always with us, but just don't get a head knowledge. Don't just put in service. Get to know the Lord. Get to know the Lord. If Jesus said eternal life is knowing him, then we ought to get to know him. We've turned eternal life into a prayer called the sinner's prayer. Jesus said eternal life is a relationship with the Father. What Jesus said, don't get mad at me. What me made the gospel isn't necessarily what the gospel is. You got to go back to the book. Jesus said eternal life is knowing the Father, not preaching about him. Knowing him. And as I read my Bible, I realize the beauty of it is you can't know him and not be affected by him. You can't know him and not be changed by him. It's impossible to know him and not be influenced and dominated by the glory of who he is. See, the Bible says if you love, it's because you know him. Watch, it's 1 John 4:7-8. If you don't love, it's just one reason. It's not one of two, one of three. It's one reason you don't love. You don't know him. That's not harsh, that's scriptural. He didn't say you don't see your need for a Savior. He didn't say your heart's not sincere. He didn't say that you don't love the cross and love what Jesus did. But he did say if you don't love, it's because you don't know him. Which means it's impossible to know him and not become love. Is that fair? That's scripture.
Yeah.
It's a little children's church song. We grew up singing it, VBS and stuff. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. That's the song. But it's script. No, I didn't sing that for an applause. I'd have tried harder. just making a point. That he has opened a door. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody gets to heaven except through me. That's what we preach. Technically, that's true. But nobody comes to the... See, we make it all about what we get from him instead of the relationship he desires. So we get tricked into serving him and ministry and doing good deeds to feel qualified, and we never feel totally qualified in that arena, honestly. And miss the whole point. Because you're only transformed by his grace, and you're only transformed in the relationship that you have with him. And the level of your relationship will dictate your transformation, or else it works and you're biting your lip trying to be a better person, and that never works. He says, if you keep his commandments, you know him. And if you don't, you don't know him. There's a couple intense scriptures in this Bible that talk about knowing him and not knowing him. Like, let me just tell you what love is. You've read it in your Bible. 1,000 times over we've read it. But it's more than a t-shirt. It's more than a bumper sticker. It's more than a plaque. It's a life that we live because it's who he is. It's not what he does, it's who he is. God is love. God doesn't do love, he is love. He made man for his image. The goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. It comes through a pure heart, a clear conscience, and an unfeigned childlike faith. Yeah? He said, I give you a new commandment, yet it's not a new commandment. It's one you had from the beginning. We were always here to love. Adam sins and gets separated from the source of love, gets cut off through sin from the source of love, and becomes in need of love. And every one of us was born into that dilemma, born into Adam, and we must be born again. So everybody's born into this vacuum, this lost identity, this no understanding, and we're all in desperate need of love. And from the time you can remember, you needed valued, you needed appreciated, you needed protected, you needed supported, you needed cheered on, and most of us didn't get a fraction of what's on that list that we needed. And then that became our resume, that became our identity, that became our story, and that became our excuse, and that ultimately became our value. Oh, come on, I'm preaching to you. I hope you're hearing this. And none of it's the truth. It happened, but it's not built on truth. It's not that it didn't happen, but we didn't know how to respond, and we were driven by need. We all needed love. Why? Because we're cut off and separated from the source of love. So our only option is to try to get it this way. But everybody else needs what we need. And we're trying to drink from dry cups our whole life. And we're thirsty. But we have an answer. Jesus said, if you'd ask of me, I'll give you a drink. It's going to be living water. If you guys one drink, just one drink from me, you ain't never gonna thirst again. What's he talking about? Being thirsty on a hot summer day? He's talking about identity. No more longing, no more needing, no more vacuum. He's saying, I'm the only one that can fulfill that thing that's missing through separation with God by taking off your sins and getting you back to the Father. We make it a prayer that takes us to heaven when we die, and then we get involved in ministry and do good things. I'm not against good things. None of us are against good things. God's not against good things. But that can lead to religion. That can lead to wrong identity. You can feed the poor and hate your brother. You can preach from the pulpit and have animosity in your heart. You can argue with your spouse the whole way to church and sing Holy is the Lamb and have no conviction because your spouse was wrong. And all of a sudden we're religious and we lose impact and power. You talked about authority. It's beautiful. Authority is a real thing. It's powerful. Authority is powerful, but it doesn't work in the midst of fear, self-centered. That's why we deny ourselves. We got to get back into Him and fear not. When you fear, you have no authority over what you fear. You're just throwing words at what you fear. You're reducing the Bible to principles you're hoping work. And you're quoting scripture instead of speaking to the mountain. I mean, the devil himself, guys, is not impressed with our church services. He is zero impressed with that worship time, even though it was real, legitimate, and powerful, and the potential was there to lay a hold of Him, to yield to Him, and see Him more and know Him more, right? But he's not bothered by that because he's watched men be religious for generations. He's watched people need and want and say all the right things and give themselves the wrong things. He's seen the littlest things shake up people. Look, when you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. It'd be so weird if it was apple juice. Come on, you're from Florida. You take that big old orange and you turn that little lid open to the pulpy side. Boom, 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 boom. And it's apple. It's weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, that should be so weird. I wish that was so weird. That you squeeze a Christian to get something other than Christ? What if the enemy learned that I'll just squeeze them to find out what they understand, what they've yielded to, and what they haven't yielded to? I don't care how long they sing. I don't care if they do all night prayer. I don't care if this whole weekend comes up Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Let them go for it. I'll just squeeze them and show you right where they are.
Come on. Come on.
Look, I'm not picking a fight and I'm not being arrogant. You go ahead and squeeze me. I got one thing to squirt out on you. And it ain't gonna be offense, and it ain't gonna be unforgiveness, and it ain't gonna stereotype you, and it ain't gonna be bitterness. It ain't gonna be feeling sorry for myself, and I can't believe you, and why'd you let him, God, do that to me? You go ahead and squeeze me. Jesus coming out. Why? It's a Christian. It's a Christian. Christian, a little Christ-like one. That's what Christian means. It doesn't mean you attend a church. It means you're Christ-like. Not being mean, just being sober. When I met my wife, she asked if I was a Christian 40 years ago. We're married 40 years in May. She asked me way back if I was a Christian. I said, well, yeah, I just figured I'm a Christian because I remember going to VBS and I lived in America and I just figured there's a church everywhere. I've got to be Christian. I'm American. I'm probably Christian. That's what I thought. I was 19. I just answered her question vaguely and quickly. Well, yeah. There was nothing about Christ in my life. I wasn't even thinking about Him. I was thinking about her. She was 23. I was 19. I thought that was cool. I thought, this is a woman. This ain't no girl I graduated with. This girl's a woman. She said, are you a Christian? I thought, well, my answer's going to help. Yes! Yes! It's just easy to say you're a Christian. Anybody can read their Bible and preach about the Lord. But knowing Him is eternal life. That means you're going to live and manifest and reveal the life that He paid for you, that He created for you to live from the beginning. I'm not talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell in that day. I'm talking about living in the realm of life. I'm talking about walking in the light as He's in the light. I'm talking about following Jesus when nobody's following Him maybe around you. When nobody in your family even seems like they care. You still got to answer what you're going to do with your convictions. Or are you going to let one person in your life decide your life? And their name's not Jesus. That would be deception. Yeah. You say, well, I wouldn't be this way if they didn't. Why are you letting they be greater than what he's created you for? See, that doesn't work. If I'm counseling you, I shut that thing down in 30 seconds without being insensitive. My counseling sessions have been so short. I'm like, wait, what'd you just say? Back that up. Okay, I get the story, but why are you so moved by that? Well, didn't you hear what? Yeah, I heard everything you said they did, but why are you so moved by that? You're finding your identity through them. You have expectation on them. You're drawing something from them you can only find about yourself in Jesus. You're making them greater than the Lord because your disposition's not shining. You're letting what they don't see become your highest vision. That's how I counsel, so don't call me if you're not serious. Like, if you're not serious, I've asked married couples if they're born again, right? My office. Wait, you guys got me so puzzled. I'm listening to all this. I'm watching your body language. I'm looking at the sarcasm and your eyes rolling. Are you guys saved? Are you saved or are you just consumed with religion and self-centeredness? Because right now you're demeaning one another in hate and hostility. And if God thought about you like that for one day, he'd have never sent his son. Where do you have the privilege to sit here and demean one another because you disagree with one another, devalue one another, and he said, she said, and blame shift, and tit for tat like an earthly talk show, but you're born again? I'm concerned. That's my counseling sessions. But it's amazing how easy it is to live that way and qualify it because of all the facts instead of live by the truth. And I never found that the facts make you free. But I can show you scripture where the truth does. Oh, I read the book. Come on. Too late for me on that one. The facts, what you've been through. Come on, what did Jesus been through? Jesus raised from the dead and called the disciples his brethren who deserted him. In today's culture, ministerial culture, that's a hurt pastor that can never get in the saddle again. That gave everything and his people crushed him. Now his trust is broken and he'll never ride that anointing again because he tried it and you just can't put no faith in no people and trust people and they'll never be there when you need them there. I mean, just think what Jesus could have said if he thought like we thought in our self-centered deceptions. He raises from the dead and calls his disciples who are huddled in fear in a room. He calls them brethren. He knows how to bring the best out in folks. To just not lose sight of who they can be. And mark them as such, because as a man thinketh, so he is. You keep telling people all about being a loser and, oh, they did this and they deserve that. And then all of a sudden you start teaching them that they're less than their potential. How are they ever going to reach their potential when all they believe is they're a mess up? Are you with me? Yeah. Jesus called the disciples his brethren. It's covenant term, John 20. He said, he revealed himself to Mary. She said, Rabboni. I mean, she watched him die. She saw him on the cross. I can't prove this, but I'm a personal firm believer that they had to drag her out of the tomb to close it. Because she's clinging to him. She don't want to leave him. He's the best thing that ever happened to her. And she's there and she ain't ashamed. Now on the third day, she's running to the tomb. She knows he's dead. Why is she going? He's dead. Because he's the best thing that ever happened to her, and she loves him, and she just wants to be close to where he is. She's going to lay her cheek on the rock and just cry and rub the stone. But on that morning, it ain't. The stone ain't. And ain't no Jesus in there. And she sees this man, thinks he's a gardener. Sir, if you've taken him, because he said, why are you weeping? If you've taken him, please show me where you've put him and I'll go and I'll take him. He said, Mary, can you imagine that? That happened to a woman. That's not just a movie scene. That happened to a woman named Mary who knew he was dead. Honestly, not just dead, beat beyond description, mangled and disfigured according to scripture. Yes. The love of Jesus. He's totally perfect, Pastor. He's never done anything wrong. His motives are squeaky, pure, clean. And they beat him and he let men beat him till you couldn't identify him. so that we could go free, the very men beating him. That's a level that we haven't considered, and we need to slow down and think on that. And not just make him a suffering savior and a baby in a manger. He's totally, perfectly right all the time. You know how we get mad at people that think they're always right? Well, you always think you're right. Well, Jesus was that one. And what'd they do, Pastor? Treated him like he was completely wrong. Yeah. And worse than that, marred him, marked him, and marred him, Isaiah 52, more than any man was ever marred. You take the worst assault on humankind, and Jesus took a worse one, according to Scripture. And when they were done with him, there ain't no way you could tell who he was. And the only way Mary knew it was him is because she stayed with him the whole time and watched them pummel him and beat him. Guys, we get our feelings hurt over an expression, over a silent treatment, over being ignored. Guys, be real with me. If we're not careful, you can just get ticked off and offended over sarcasm. That silent thing in the marriage, that silent treatment, psychological gameplay and silent treatment, that push and shove in the marriage. You okay? What's going on? Fine. I'm fine. Then you don't say anything else and you just go off to work and leave the house and the marriage in that tension. When you walk home from work, there's automatic tension because of the way. Now there's pressure in the house over nothing in light of what we're talking about. You're never going to convince me of anything else. It's self-centeredness. It just takes somebody to repent and come off of themselves. Even if you're wrong, I know somebody that did that. Even if the person they're backing off of is wrong, what I mean is even if you're right, they're wrong. Yeah? What do you think it means to carry your cross? I'm not scolding you right now. I'm asking you a question. What do we think it means to carry our cross? You're taxiing through life and you're walking in love. And come hell or high water, nothing changes. He's a rock. He's higher than I. He doesn't move, and I'm founded on him. He ain't moving. I ain't moving. I'm walking in the light as he's in the light. I'm following him. Why? Because he's Lord. Amen. Not praying a prayer to him so he blesses me, provides for me, protects me, and takes me to heaven and keeps everything that I love the most. That's American Christianity. It's dangerous. We almost teach people you just bring God into your life so he makes your life better, protects your life, and keeps your life and blesses your life. What about giving you a new one? Can I tell you straight up what Jesus says? Jesus says, unless you, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. He says, unless you love less your mother, your father, your children, your houses, and your land, and yes, even your own life, you will by no means be my disciple. He didn't say you won't go to church, but you won't be a disciplined learner and a wholehearted follower. He didn't say you won't be a theologian, but he said you won't be a disciple, and he told his disciples to go make disciples, not confessing Christians. Now watch this. He said, unless you love less that list, you'll by no means be my disciple. Why? Because what happens is people in the fall of man are moved by sentiment and emotions that are self-centered. So if anything on that list happens in our life, it throws us for a loop, and ultimately we even wonder where he is. So it's counterproductive to us living Christ because we're questioning Christ. If you see first and foremost why you're on the earth, it's the healthiest way to live. And all of a sudden you understand he is the Lord. You're not a Christian for the well-being of everybody around you that you call dear. You're a Christian to manifest Christ in every situation, and in the same time, you're believing for that blessing. But if that's not your sincere heart, you're going to get caught off guard if something catches you by surprise. Because now you're going to covet a relationship. You're going to covet a person. You're going to lose a parent and be unexpectedly losing a parent. All of a sudden, you can't handle it. Because the whole reason you're a Christian is for the protection of that thing. And now you feel forsaken and you feel like God didn't pull through, and your mind won't release that. And then you can't grow close to him, and now you don't even trust him. Come on, I've seen it happen. I've pastored for a long time. I've seen people totally throw in the towel through tragedy because they never had a healthy understanding of why they were in him in the first place. And some preacher told them and taught them, and some pastor taught them that he's all about blessing and protection and provision, but never talked about integrity and honor and trust and surrender. I've seen a whole lot of people healed in my life. I really have. It's been amazing. But I watched my mother die, a woman of God, wouldn't complain. She can get out of bed for 15 years. Probably the last 15 years of her life, she laid in bed in tubes, did her living for her. And she would smile. She's the sweetest thing you've ever met. You'd walk in a room and she'd say, hi. When she passed, doctors stood at her funeral. Nurses came, took the time to stand at my mother's memorial service. That's unheard of. Doctors don't show up at patients' funerals. They die all the time. It was the woman she was. And their minds were on tilt because they said, how can she be going through this and live this way and touch me so deeply? And everybody knows if they were in her shoes, they can't even imagine what they would be like. And she didn't even know how to complain. Never one time did I hear my mother in 40 years of sickness complain and curse her sickness. I never heard her say, this miserable sickness, and I don't know why, I'm just so sick and tired of being in bed. Never heard her rant, never heard her. A nurse one time said, I think you need to learn how to express frustration towards this sometimes. And she said, I was overdoing something and I thought, oh, this is gonna be fun. She said, now why would I do that? Was my mom. Why? Because she knew before she was an MS patient, she was a daughter created to shine. And she refused to let MS decide whether she could shine or not. She let Jesus decide that. And even though we never saw her healed of MS, boy, we saw her shine. Now she's in eternity with a legacy of zero complaining, of touching a whole bunch of lives in the midst of her challenges. Yeah. A testimony that can't be rewritten. You can't go back and do it over again. You get one crack at this, guys. My hair is white. I'm 60. I don't even know where 60 years went. I feel like a little kid. I'm excited. I'm full of life, but I'm 60. But I don't know where it went. You folks that look at me and think I'm like some ancient of days older than a rock, it won't be long. Your hair will be white, and you'll be like, how did this happen? I mean, it's like this, man. You're 13 and you're like, I'm gonna be 16 soon, but it seems like way out there. When you're 13, you wanna be 16? And your sibling just started driving and you're like 13 and you're like, oh, 3 years, whoa, 3 decades. Next thing you know, you're just about 18. You're thinking, ooh, 18, adult, woo. Then people want 21, wrong reasons. But after 21, there's no goals. So now you're 25. Ah! Now you're 30, looking in the mirror a lot. Ah! Now you're 35, you ain't even threw away the mirrors. Now they're like, Lordy, Lordy, look who's. And you're like, what? I was just 20. Who knows what I'm talking about? What am I saying? Time is skating, man. It is floating by. Come on. I just said to my wife, this is the last month of the year. We got to go through the whole tax thing again. I got to gather and make them do year-end stuff. I said, it feels like I just did that a month ago. Time is rolling. And you ain't getting it back.
No.
You got to live and redeem the time. The day is evil. You got to store up treasures that are going to last the test of time. We got to live by faith. We can't live by a bunch of shambled up feelings. We can't just have some story and justify why we don't look like Jesus. Because that's going to be called unbelief. That's what it's going to be called. You're going to let something matter more than what matters most. That's unbelief. And it ain't going to fly. You ain't going to look at the Lord and say, well, you know, if you'd have just touched my spouse. You're going to go, oops. I let my spouse determine my whole life. I let where they weren't decide where I was. And I never trusted you, believed you. I never let you be the dominating influence of my life. You'll see that in a moment when you look into the light of who he is. You know when I'm saying it, there ain't nobody going to stand before him. You see, well, I don't know why you kept me on that job all that time. I prayed and prayed for a new one. No, you're going to realize the reason you didn't get the new one because you asked to go to another one for all the wrong reasons and God just didn't move. You can't leave your job because you hate your boss.
Right?
You can't leave your job because you don't get along with your coworkers. Get born again. That'll change. I'm sorry. No wonder God didn't give you another job. In fact, he should ball and chain you there for the rest of your life till you get a revelation. Do you guys read this stuff? He who hates his brother is in darkness until now. It's so unnatural to hate, but it's normal to us because we grew up in Adam. But heaven doesn't even know what we're doing.
Come on.
He said, your will be done on
earth.
There's no hate there, no animosity, no backbiting, no pride, no offense, no bitterness, no unresolved conflict, no insecurity, no low esteem. Why do we turn scriptures like that always into the power of God? No cancer in heaven, no cancer on the earth. And it gives us faith, and we must have faith to pray, even though we're scared that the people we're praying for are going to die. He's talking about the heart of God. Your will be done on just like it's being done right now. Remember I quoted 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another. Love is God. Everyone who loves is born of God, knoweth God. He who loveth not, knoweth not God, because God is love. You drop down to verse 17, it says, here's how we know that love is perfected. Love is perfected in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. What? Boldness in the day of judgment? Scripture says it's a day of dread and fear, that men are going to be a and won't even want to face the glory of who he is because they haven't lived him. But we're going to have boldness in that day for one reason. This is the only way you're going to have boldness. It's not because you prayed the sinner's prayer and went to church. It's because as he is, the whole chapter, he's love, he's love, he's love. As he is, so are we in this world. Come on. Don't even think for a second this is too intense. It's scripture after scripture after scripture. It's called separation, sanctification. It's not works. It's not legalism. It's not judgmental. It's transformation. It's new life through Jesus Christ. You put off the old man and his deeds, and you put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Come on, it's scripture. I'm not preaching anything new. It's not some new theology, but it's amazing. You go to church, I travel every weekend. I preach this stuff and people are like, I never heard this. I'm thinking, what? That's all I see. That's all I see. It's on every page. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. In no way terrified by your adversary. He's talking about the devil, not people. People aren't your enemy. People are your missionary target. Forgive them, Father, they. Do you just see how amazing Jesus is? He's not a wimp. He's not a doormat. He's not passive. He's not like, oh, well, you know. He sees bigger than they're living. He sees past their deception, past their deficit. And he says, beat beyond description. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know about you. That impresses me. That sounds like something we're following instead of a theological debate at a dinner table. We just sell so cheap. I want to follow that. If he said, follow me, I have to be able to. If he gave me the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, then faith says it's possible. If he said he gave me exceedingly great and precious promises by which through those promises I can partake of his divine nature and escape the corruption that's all around me through self-centered seeking, then it has to be possible. That's where faith comes in. That's where believers and unbelievers are divided.
Right.
Come on. I'm not here questioning your salvation. I want to stir you and provoke you into bearing much fruit. You know them by their fruit. You don't know them by their ability to preach. You don't know them even by their ministry or their ministry gifting. You know them by their fruit. I've met people that know the Bible 10 times clearer than me. They can quote every scripture you try to speak, and they can finish it for you. But they're mean, they're angry, they're judgmental. I've met some people that really know the word, and they use it like a club. And they're mean. You ever meet that kind of person? Don't get mad at that person. Don't hate that person. Don't ask God to knock them off their high horse. That means you're offended. Ask God to minister to them and give them understanding and cause their hearts to be filled with love so it can edify instead of knowledge puffing up. See, knowledge will puff you up. It's that blight of man called pride. Yeah? I don't know what happened here. What, are we okay? I just got up here and just started. Blah, 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 blah. It's just the way it is tonight. I had a lot of good things I thought I was going to talk about. Might as well not figure on that half the time, huh? Are you all okay?
Yeah.
Guys, that God would say we're even worthy of this. That Jesus would raise from the dead and call his disciples brethren is astounding. That's a covenant term. You know what he's saying in the midst of their failures? At that point, did his disciples do anything right? Actually, you can't find one thing they did right. And he called them brethren. What's he saying? I haven't changed my mind about any of you. And then he walks in the room where they're fearing and says, peace be with you. Why? He just took his blood to the mercy seat and applied it to the mercy seat because he told Mary, I'm going to the Father. He said, Mary, don't cling to me. Mary's amazing. You gotta love Mary. You know, see, because if that was us and Jesus said your name and you said, Rabboni, you'd probably be like, because you know he's dead. Now he's standing there talking to you. That's a wig out moment. Like, you're like, oh my. Nope. Mary's like, Rabboni. She's coming. You know she's coming because the next words out of Jesus don't cling to me. Why? She's already halfway there. Coming hard. He said it for a reason. But on the cross he said it's finished. What's he saying? The beating necessary to pay for the redemption of man. Man can come to the Father now. This thing's sufficient. It's enough. It's finished. I took enough whooping. But it ain't finished because he didn't take his blood to the mercy seat. So the total reason he's here, so now he's excited. Who knows he could sit and talk to Mary all day in fellowship and he loves Mary. Who knows that he could just talk to her all day. But he says, don't cling to me, Mary. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. meaning I haven't finished this thing. It's not a wrap yet. I have to go make peace between God and man, and I have to wipe away sin and its power forever. I have to destroy the law of sin and death and enter people into the law of the Spirit of life that comes through me, Christ. He said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to my God and your God. So you know what he did? He had to, because the next thing we see is him walking in a room, and what comes out of his mouth is peace be with you. Why? He just made peace through his blood. And it's Romans 5:1. You now have peace with God, being justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, peace be with you. He shows him his hands. He shows him his side. And they saw it was the Lord. What's the next thing out of his mouth? Peace be to you. Why? As soon as they realize it's the Lord, what happened to their soul?
Oh, no.
They weren't, yes.
They were, no.
Because they all denied him. What do you think Peter did? Oh! What do you think the disciple did that ran out of his clothes? He just streaking through the trees naked. They all just said at the Last Supper they're going to die for him. They whispered among themselves they're all going to lay down their life. They're all going to die for him. He said, nope, I'm going to be struck and you're going to be scattered. And they all went, no, we're going to die for him. We're going to die for him. We're going to die for him. Struck. We'd all ran too. But he's standing there. They all know they ran. And their souls spin. And he says, peace to you. What he's saying is, look, I know how you're tempted to feel right now. My love is way bigger than that, and let's get back on track. As the Father sent me, I send you. Wait a minute, what? These guys didn't do anything right. You're just forgiving them as if they did nothing wrong, and now you're releasing them to go do what you trained them to do for 3 years as if they don't need have issues and need more training. Let me simplify this for you. He's saying, come on, just start believing. I know who you are. It's time for you to know who you are. As the Father sent me. We always think power and miracles, but for God so. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Why? Because we're one. He made us for his image, and he's the firstborn among many. We're the body of Christ. We've turned it into a prayer that blesses me. And now we have disappointed people that go to church. And they have a reason because of their story. And then we call it sensitive to listen to it and show them compassion, which is really sympathy. Instead of truth that gets them out of that thing so they can have a higher perspective and still be real and still face the reality of what they're going through and not be in denial and not stuff emotions, just have a new response because they live a new way. When my wife is struggling with her identity for 8 years in our marriage, 8 years in our marriage, people go, 8 years? 8 years is the same as a day because truth doesn't change. Why do we let time change truth? Because we're self-centered. Well, I can't take anymore. Wonder if Jesus just stopped in the middle and said, I can't take anymore. Wonder if love actually fails. Nope, it doesn't. Well, I've had enough. Wonder if God had enough. Wonder if God took the language that we've put on each other and let it be his. My wife was struggling for 8 years. Come on, I say Jesus lives in me. What's she need the most? She needs Jesus. She's struggling. She doesn't need a frustrated husband. Jesus lives in me. She needs me to love her like he loves the church. Woo-hoo! So I'm just going to be a good husband, surrendered, and I'm going to love my wife. 8 years, same as 8 days, because truth never changes. and love never fails. Well, that's a long time, brother. You're telling me I'm supposed to. The only reason you're saying that is because you're talking out of your unfulfilled life. You're finding identity through the things that are hurting you. And it ain't working. That's why you're hurt. When she's struggling, am I hurt? I care for her. I'm hurting for her. I cry for her. I don't cry for me. I don't have a problem. My wife's identity's in trouble. I don't have a problem. I have answers. I have Jesus. Yeah. Come on, if my wife can be a problem, I got a problem. But I have an answer. It's called Christ in me, the hope of glory. And love never fails. And the way he forgave me, I forgive. The way he loved me, I love. The way he showed mercy, I show mercy. It's not complicated. It doesn't get any easier than that. In Matthew 18, he forgave a servant of everything he owed. Servant owed more than he could pay. He was about to be sold off, him and his family. He fell on his knees and cried to the master, please have mercy. Master was moved with compassion and relieved him of all the debt that he couldn't pay. You familiar? The fellow servant went out and found a servant that owed him a denarii. In 96 or 7, somewhere around there, or 5, a pastor did the math that in that year. So now we're in 2022, so it's way different. Back then, it was $19,500,000. So he was forgiven $19 million debt, and he choked his fellow servant and wouldn't release him and forgive him for $500. So you owed me $500, and I just got relieved of $19 million debt. And I say, hey, man, when are you going to pay me up? Listen, man, have patience with me. I'm trying to get it together. I don't quite have it yet. I'll get it to you when I can. No, dude, that ain't working. You owed to me how long now? It's time, man. You're hiding behind words. You need to get me the money. I need it now. Look, I can't pay you. He has him shut up in prison. He has him thrown in prison. In New Testament language, what that means is he judged him in his heart and he stereotyped him and saw him as a debtor. And that master found out what he had done. And he came to him and watch what he said. He wasn't a Gentile. He wasn't outside the house. He was in. He said, you evil and wicked servant. I forgave you of everything you owed me. Shouldn't you forgive your fellow brother or servant what he owed you? He said, have that man bound and cast out. It's actually a state of the soul. Unforgiveness puts you in a soulical torment. It's an outcast place. You can never be close to God. You can't have intimacy with the Lord when you're in unforgiveness. You can wave as many flags as you want. You can't have intimacy with the Lord when you're in unforgiveness. And if you don't have intimacy, you can't get pregnant. If you don't get pregnant, you'll give birth to nothing. Oh, my. Are you with me? We are not here to get tricked into the Christian motion of things. We're here to be his children, to manifest him. And to bear witness of him through our lives. That's what he paid for. He didn't pay for anything less. He paid to put who he is back inside of us. That's why life is so miserable. If anybody would ever get honest and admit it, life is miserable when you know you ain't living the truth. Who's ever been blessed in an argument? Who's ever lived in unresolved conflict and tells me they have joy unspeakable? No. And you just wake up and you have unresolved issues at work and you just can't wait to get to work. I ain't never seen life come out of those things, but I see life coming out of him. Yeah? So that's not confess born again, that's live born again. Let's wrap faith around this. And you say, Pastor, how can I become like this? It's so convicting. It feels impossible to me. No. You get alone with God and you tell him you're willing. You tell him you're a sincere yes. You get alone and you re-strengthen your yes. And you start telling him you believe it's possible to love like he loves. And his spirit's in you. You're looking through his eyes and his heart is in you. Thank you. I'm not lacking any good thing. It's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom and I'm willing to walk in it. I don't want your protection, and I just don't just want your blessing. I want your life, your nature, your image, and I want your love. Let it flow through me. You start talking like that to the Lord. You start thanking God for the gift called life. Yeah, instead of dreading it and asking him to get you through it. People say, they joke about it in the church. They say, well, we're going to heaven someday. We just got to suffer through the hell for a while. I don't even know what you're talking about. Forgive me. You can call me anything you want and judge me for saying that. I don't know what you're talking about. When my wife's struggling in 8 years of identity crisis, I'm not in hell and I'm not going through hell. I'm privileged to manifest Christ and love her in the midst of weakness and see God make her strong. So in that place, I'm at my best. But if I'm self-centered and self-focused, now I feel sorry for myself and I can't take anymore. And then I talk to a pastor that tells me I have a short life and God doesn't expect me to have to endure that. And sometimes people don't choose to change. So maybe it's best to just move on because you can't suffer your soul like that. My soul's not suffering. It hurts for her. I wish we'd teach love like that because that's how it's in that book. And that's exactly what God did for every one of us. Every one of us. If you were honest, you knew to do right and you did wrong after you knew to do right. You know that. You've been convicted by that. We have convictions we don't follow through with. And God didn't say, well, if they didn't change by now, they ain't going to change. Forget them. Whoever came to an altar and God just showed up at the altar and said, oh, coming now. Yeah, tears looking all sincere. You should have came 6 months ago when I convicted you. You caused a lot of hell and pain and hurt a bunch of people. In fact, it's good I don't slumber because you kept me up all night anyway. I'll tell you what, I'll come back in 24 hours. I'm going to meet with the elders and we'll just see what's up and I'll get back to you tomorrow. You ain't seen God do that to nobody. While their sin is abounding, grace is coming greater to rescue them from every lie they're living. And mercy is triumphing over judgment. And love is covering a multitude of sin. That doesn't mean sin's okay. It means we weren't created for it. We're created to be one with him. Yeah? So you come out of darkness. You don't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You come out of darkness into the light. And the first thing you do, you deny yourself. It's the biggest lie on the planet. I know most of us say it's politics, and a lot of y'all say it's the Democrats. I'm not going to get into it. But let me tell you what the biggest problem on the planet is, that every day people wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image. And you might say, well, people ain't going to change that. Well, you can change that. And stop letting where people aren't decide where you are and getting cynical over politics and hating people over politics and telling bad jokes over politics and letting the heart of God wax cold over politics. Calling people the devil. Well, I've been around us. Politics will mess some folks up. It'll show that you were never established in the first place. And you'll let a topic like that make you hard and angry and so involved, you put more effort in your talk about that stuff than you do to get to know God. Come on. Be careful. And then COVID comes along, and then we're all scared, and people are all scared, and I realize some people died, but wonder if fear steals authority. Yeah? We're just not called to live that way. Look, the reality is I could walk out of here and somebody just don't like me, like what I'm saying. Somebody just shoot me cold in the parking lot. That's the last thing on my mind. I don't need nobody to protect me, stay with me, and jump in front of me. Shoot me if you must, but I ain't gonna die. No, I'm serious. People get mad. They think you're teaching wrong. They hate you for it. I was down south. I'm south now, but I was over farther. And I was a few states over. Not many, one. And I'm doing a big pastor thing. And I was finished. And I preached like a madman to them pastors because I had leaders. I got men of influence. So I'm talking to them about not just preaching blessing and provision and protection and preaching a gospel that serves me without changing me. That's going to be spoiled children. You raised your child like that, people say shame on you, and then we want to make the gospel like that. And we want to complain. The Bible says two places in the New Testament where a Christian never complains. Unscriptural to complain. I can show you in Hebrews 12:3 where it's unscriptural to be discouraged. But the only way you can possibly be discouraged if you're considering yourself. But I thought we denied ourselves and we seek first the kingdom of God. I thought we laid down our life and died. I thought we love not our own life unto death. Then what am I complaining about something in life? There's no way around it. It's scripture after scripture after scripture. And I'm going to preach it till the day he takes me off the earth. And people are going to get mad at me. And they told this church, if you bring this man in, there's harm coming to him. So at the end of my service, I have undercover policemen surround me. It's ridiculous. They sit all around me. And I thought, this is weird. Because it looked funny. And one guy leans over, he says, hey, Dan, I'm Officer So-and-so. I said, you know, I thought that. I said, and them guys? He said, yeah, there's three of them. They're with me. I said, yeah, him and him. Y'all just, that's what I thought. He said, well, there's threats against you, and we're concerned for your life. I said, what? Yeah, there's some people really angry about what you say, and they threatened, and we're just here to make sure you get out of here safely. I said, listen, bud, I appreciate you, honor you, respect. I can find you in the book of Romans. You're in there. I said, but this is the wrong place. This is the wrong situation. I said, guys, this is intimidation. If you don't face it, you'll have to run from it the rest of your life. And the next place I travel, they're going to blow up the children's church. I said, you got to face it. I said, here's what we're going to do. You're going to defuse this. You're going to stay away from me a million miles away. Nobody's shadowing me. You're just going to let it unfold. They say they're going to kill me. Let's see if they can. Let's just see if they can. I don't think it's going to happen, but let's see if they can. Truth is, I'm not going to die, but we're not going to run from intimidation. He said, well, sir, I strongly disagree with your approach. I said, I'm not even asking for agreement. I'm just asking you to honor my request. Defuse it, man. If they say they're going to kill me, let's let it play out and see if they can. Because I'm already a dead man. I'm a dead man. That's why I'm not hurt when my wife is struggling for 8 years. That's why bailing out isn't an option. That's why I don't need counseling and prayer. Oh, I'm getting a little aggressive, I know. But I'm already a dead man. So what are you going to do? Shoot me and kill me? Are you kidding? You're going to thrust me into eternity forever with Jesus. And then if you don't repent for doing what you did, you're in big trouble. So you think you quenched my voice and truth's still going to scream on the earth. They stoned Stephen and here we are still preaching. They killed Jesus. That didn't work. Now they got to kill Stephen. That didn't work. Now they killed thousands of Christians and hung them on crosses and burned them with oil. And the gospel's still on the earth. Come on. So I'm already dead. You better make sure you're already dead. I'm not here to impress you with my preaching. I'm not here to impress you with my stories. I'm impressed with him. And I'm humbled by him. And I love him. And he made me for a reason. And he made you for a reason. And if you're not living in that reason, that's why life is dysfunctional. Yeah. You're not in the niche of purpose. That's why it's unsettled. Look, you don't put metal in a microwave. Read the manufacturer's handbook. You leave the foil on the plate. It's not cool. Whoa, what? Who's ever done it? Left a fork on a plate or something. It ain't cool. Read the manufacturer's handbook. The microwave was not made for metal. And if you continue to put the metal in the microwave, you will destroy the product. Read the manufacturer's handbook.
Come on.
Men were not made to live for themselves. They were made for the image of God. They were made to live by the Spirit. They were made to live in truth. And if they walk and live in truth, they won't even fulfill the lust of the flesh. The church doesn't even believe that. The church believes our experience, not His grace and power. And you preach that and you get criticized for it because we're letting experience trump God's ability. You read the manufacturer's handbook. You weren't made for yourself. And if you continue to live for yourself, of course you'll destroy the product. And you can blame God and you can blame others. But in the end, you'll be found that you weren't a believer. And you might have sat in church. Whew. Oh my goodness, are we okay? I feel so ramped up. I gotta calm down. I don't know about you, but I just don't want religion. I just don't want a form of something. Do you know, in the book of Job, it's a very misunderstood book. I'm not saying I understand it all, but I understand one thing. I understand that when God honored Job and told the devil what he thought about Job, when God told the devil what God thought about Job, the devil had a lot to say about it. He said, righteous. Different than any other man? Are you kidding me? He's only the way he is because you blessed him on every side. You hedged him in. You made him fat in the land. The only reason he's blessing you is because you blessed him. He's reciprocating. Look, men just bless you. You know what he's saying? Cut me a break, Lord. People don't love you. They need you. And if you do them right, they all, whoo! But if they don't think they're done right, they all, people don't love you. They need you. Job is the way he is because you blessed him like you blessed nobody on the earth. You take away the blessing, you'll see his true colors. Watch. He will curse you to your face just like everybody else. You know what's a shame? He's right in most cases. You got to make sure he ain't right where you're concerned. So all them blessings got stripped away. A lot of people teach that God did it. No, the devil said, do this and take it away. And the Lord said, he's already in your hands. People miss this stuff. He's already in your hands. There's no blood of Jesus. There's no authority in the name of Jesus. There's no redemption for sins. He's already in your hands. He takes all this stuff. Job's stuff gets plundered. Kids get killed. It's tragic. And Job doesn't understand, and his friends didn't understand. And Job said a lot of things that aren't theological that we think are theological. It was just Job's take on things. Like we sing songs, he gave and the Lord gives and he takes it away. The Lord give it, the Lord take it away. I'm like, don't sing that like Job. He gives his son, takes away sin. I'll buy that. But he doesn't give blessing and then tempt your heart by stripping it out from under you. He doesn't tempt any man. But he went back and God said, have you considered my servant Job that he's lost all this stuff and he hasn't cursed me? The devil comes right back arrogantly and says, skin for skin. A man will give anything to save his own life. He's got men so figured out by then that the fall of man took love and perverted it into self-centeredness, and it was driving every man for generations. And he said, skin for skin, when this hits him personally in his temple, he will fall apart because a man will do anything to save his own life. What are we supposed to do in the gospel?
give our own life. You hear how perverted it is? What's love do? Lay down its life for another. What's the opposite of love? Live at the expense of someone. Ain't that something? You say live at the expense. Yeah, you're in a household with four people. That's a family. And you cop an attitude, run to your room and put pressure on the other three. That's living at the expense of your home. It's evidence that you don't know Jesus like you could. That's living at the expense. You're just putting pressure on people. You're not giving life and life more abundantly. If we're following Jesus, our pursuit is life and life more abundantly, not pressure, the need to be right. Well, you said, well, if I wouldn't have, if you didn't start, well, how come you always got it? Well, why is it always my fault? Hello? All that language, we never ever heard it in his mouth. So we never learned it from him. We grew up believing it was right. And it's the way that seems right. And the problem is your couple friends agree with your pain and it allows you to stay there. But when you look in the book, it has no privilege to be in your life. Are you with me? Yeah? Can we live this way? The one criticism that I get from people tangibly that talk to me, they get a little frustrated. And they say, well, what you're preaching isn't even possible to live. Well, then you might as well throw away your Bible, I guess. Because I didn't share nothing that wasn't scriptural. I preached scripture after scripture after scripture tonight. And I used his life as an example, the one we're supposed to follow. We're not called to follow ourselves. We're called to follow him. People say, well, no one can. We're not talking about no one. We're talking about him. Well, yeah, but brother, everybody has their stuff. We're talking about him. Why are you following everybody? So then all of a sudden we let human experience trump the grace of God that's here to change us. And we use our human experience as an alibi to not believe the grace that wants to change us. Are you all good? I don't even know where you go from here. Just surrender. I know pastors use death and hell and heaven as, I'm not really cool with that. I'm really not. I don't want to scare people into nothing, but the fear of the Lord, reverence for the person of God, is the beginning of wisdom. But this thought just came to me. Just think about your life and if it would end right now. It's sober to think that stuff. He told us to count the costs. Don't just step in and say you're something. You better count the costs. He says nobody entering into battle gets all the way into battle and then looks and feels like they're going to get overrun, tries to throw a peace treaty retreat flag. Nobody puts their hand to the plow, and then what? And never finds himself worthy of what they put their hand to. It's scripture, guys. Here's what the Lord asked me a long time ago. He asked me this, but I feel confident to pass this on. It's a barometer he used with me. He said this to me a long time ago. He said, if everybody that said they were a Christian was living what you're living, would it make a difference? And would people know me? That's what he asked me. He said, if every person on the earth would become whatever you are, would it make a difference? That's a challenge. That's sobering. And that's what he shared with me. And I took it to heart and I thought, whoa, I want that answer to always be yes. I want to walk in love. I want to stop people. Say, hey, how are you doing? Can I help you? I just feel like, has finances been a struggle for you lately? Yeah, how do you know? Listen, first of all, let me just pay this, okay? Oh, no, I don't. Nope, too late. All right. So listen, no, it's real. I want to live that way. And if anybody else was living what I'm living, would it make a difference? I have to know that answer's always yes. That's a good
barometer for me. I just thought I'd pass it on, not to condemn and judge people, to stir you and get you thinking. Like, if your life would end right now, are you living Christ? Are you walking in faith? Are you pursuing the Spirit of God? Do you have unresolved conflicts and issues? Do you have reasons for being hurt or angry? Or are you going after God? Would you be ready to face Him? Because as He is, so are you in the world. That's not a wrong question for a fellow like me to ask. I'm in a church. I'm up front with a mic. It's not a wrong question. Now, the only thing is, I don't have music going. Because I'm not just here to pull your emotional cord. I'm here to reach your heart and get you thinking in a way that brings substantial, consistent change. That if you start living outside of what you heard tonight, your heart will know it immediately. And Holy Spirit will woo you into a position to make change if you're willing. Are you with me? See, I feel like when the Lord empowers me to preach like this, the whole thing is an altar call. Like the whole time you're at the altar.
Come on, that's right.
Like you don't just have to come up here. See, an altar call is not, an altar call is like, duh. Yeah. Oh, what? That's an altar call. Because it's not just boo-hoo. And we think God's really moving. People are crying hard. I've seen altar calls where people are crying so hard. I've asked people over the years, why are you crying so hard? They were condemned at the altar. They felt like they couldn't change. They were like, God, if you don't change me, I'm just going to go back to the same thing. Woo! And the preachers are saying, look how hard they're crying. God's really moving. I'm thinking, no, they're believing the wrong thing, some of them. I already asked about three of them. See, repentance is a change. It's a turn of mind. It's a turn from and a turn to. It could look like this. Duh, yeah. Repentance. What? Whoa. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. Who's ever had those moments where you're seeing something a certain way and all of a sudden God goes, and you go, oh, yeah. Repentance. We always think repentance is some emotional outburst. It's a turning. We started at 6. For a guy like me, I always thought that was an extra hour, but it's not. But I always thought it was. A pastor ruined that for me for about 4 years ago. I was like, he said, now look, tomorrow we're starting at 6 so we can get out, you know, maybe a little earlier because we're coming back for Sunday. And I went, is that why everybody does 6 when I come in town? To get out an hour earlier? I've been blowing that the whole time. Like the whole time. I'm thinking, I've never got that right. Like I always thought in my mind, oh, they're so sweet, they flew me in and now I'm getting an extra hour. And then the pastor said that, so now my conscience is violated. So then every time they say 6, I'm thinking, bummer. I used to think extra hour. So then I say to the pastor, now he already told me, now tomorrow we're starting at 6 because we got 3 services Sunday and maybe it won't be as late. So he messed me up. No, he didn't. Because I would ask him. I would have said, now are you starting at 6 like just because open service? Or so it might not get so late because we all got to come back and you got leaders and people and committed in 3 services. I would have asked him. Because my conscience is bothered now. I can't just take the hour and run with it. I mean, I've really been, some of my 6 o'clock services have been my longest services. Like, leave at 10:30. Like, I'm up in northern PA. It was 10:45. I was still preaching and didn't even breathe. People were sitting there. I told 2 stories. It was dramatic, and everybody's just, it was one of the moments. You'd have had to been there. I preached 3 hours and 6 minutes and never blinked. It's hard to comprehend 3 hours and 6 minutes and never even blinked. And people weren't distracted. They were just sitting there. And a 7-year-old stood up. I said, oh, my goodness.
above the sound booth, there was this big full moon clock like you see in schools and stuff. And I said, there ain't no way that was there all night. I'd have seen it. It was huge. It looked like a full moon. And all of a sudden I went, whoa. And I saw the time, and I thought the sound person had taken it down in the beginning because I had mentioned something about time. And then I thought they thought, you know what, this isn't really funny anymore. And they put it up. That's what I thought happened. I'm being honest. And I went, oh my goodness, is that the time? And everybody was like, time, what time? And then you could hear the rumble. Whoa. Because nobody was looking. Everybody was just like this. A seven-year-old girl right where you're sitting. She just jumped to her feet. I said, oh my goodness, I gotta stop. She looked distressed. Seven. I asked her how old she was. She jumped to her feet and said, no. I said, no. I said, honey, I've been preaching for hours. A guy over here, right where you're sitting with a cell phone. He said, 3 hours and 6 minutes, I'm recording. I said, I've been preaching 3 hours and 6 minutes. How old are you? She said, seven. I said, you're 7 years old. I've been preaching 3 hours and 6 minutes. You should be like tapping your mom, saying, mom, is this guy ever going to shut up? I want to go home. She said, oh, no, sir. I get so much out of what you say. 7! And then I said, you know what, guys? I'm going to keep preaching. And she did some kind of something. I don't know what it was, but she started doing something. And I said, no, I'm just kidding, honey. And she went. Next morning, she came running to me. She said, hi. I said, hi, beautiful. Come here. That was so precious. You touched my heart. She said, well, they all call me the prayer warrior of the church. What seven-year-old says this? She honored her children's church. What seven-year-old says this? Most seven-year-olds would be like, you know, I want to stay up here and listen to you. I don't want to go to church, down church, kids' church. She said, you know, nothing against my children's church. I love my children's church, and I love my teacher. But I don't want to go down there today. I wanted to stay up here. She wanted to stay up. And I said, well, let me tell you what you do. Where's your parents? She said, one of daddy's working sound. And I said, listen, here's what you do. Now, the parents didn't know I did this, but they'd have appreciated it if they knew, because I'm always pastoring. I said, now, here's what you do, honey. You go ask your parents from your heart sincerely if you could stay up, that you'd love to hear the message today, even though you love your children's church, if it would be okay with them. Now, here's what you got to understand. Whenever you put your parents in a position to say yes or no, you have to understand you put them in that position, and you have to accept and honor their answer. And that's what it means to honor your mother and father. Because if you go, oh, but I want, but no, but I said, then there's no honor. I said, so if you put them in that position and they say, well, no, honey, you know, I think it'd be best if you just go down with your class. You just say, okay, thank you. And go to your class. And that's before the Lord. And she went. She took off running. I'm in the middle of preaching Sunday morning, my magnificent sermon. I'm preaching. And I look and she said, yeah. You know, her mom got healed that night of 10 or 13 or there's so many things that happened over the years. But no, it was 15 years. That's why I'm listening. I know this is true. It was 15 years of an auto accident that impaired her body. And even though it was a quarter of 11, Jesus wasn't slumbering. And she got healed, and she laid in the front for a half hour and just sobbed and cried because her body was doing what it hadn't done for 15 years. In a moment. Isn't that fun? So listen, I'm not having an altar call for what I preached tonight. I'm calling you to go after this thing with all your heart. Listen, you live with you. You know you. You know your want-tos. You know your not-want-tos. Here's what I've done a lot. Look, I've made this simple. Like a long time ago, I said, Lord, if I'm going to be preaching in front of people, and people like you are going to ask me to come to your church, I said, then you got to please do something for me. Like, when I'm done preaching, let a man only have two options. You say, two? Yeah, because he has a will. He has a free will. Let a man only have two options. Let a man say, you know what? I hear what he's saying, and I want it. Or, you know, I hear what he's saying, I just don't want it. But I said, please, when I'm done, don't let nobody say, what's he saying? And I don't think tonight you're saying, what's he saying?
This, what
you're saying, amen. This kind of message is the love of God because it gives you a crystal clear option and locates your heart. Amen. Guys, that's why there's a judgment. People choose to believe or not believe. You say, well, I believe, I'm just not. That's the same as not believing. In the end of time, the life you live will reveal what you really believed. And the just shall live by, bam. So in those 8 years with my wife, rather than get hurt and talk myself into some justification for being less than Jesus, I'd rather live by faith and trust one day I'll stand before him. And he says, well done, that good and faithful servant. Not,
why'd you give me that woman?
So that's my altar call. So if your heart got touched, if you got convicted, if you got challenged, that's all good things. Follow your convictions. Don't violate your conscience. The goal of our instruction is love through a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. There's people out there that shipwreck their faith for the lack of a clear conscience. Yeah? Him to know to do right and doesn't, to him it is sin. Romans 14. Do you get it? Amen. So it's 8:06. Can we pray for the sick? I said we'd pray for the sick. So I'm just shifting gears, but I'm really not. It's all the kingdom. It's all the gospel. But y'all good? Can I pray something over y'all, please? Father, I just pray that you take every word tonight and let the conviction just stick in our heart in a beautiful way. I thank you there's no condemnation. There's no wrong thinking tonight. I just pray, Holy Spirit, and ask that you would realign everybody's thinking. If this stuff tries to get used in the wrong way, well, there's no sense now. I sure blew it. I would just, God, you would blow that out of everybody's minds. And let us start here in this place like a racehorse in the starting block. Let us have a fresh start. Let's have a present and a things to come. God, we just start here. We repent here. And we say we're all in right here. So I'm asking you, Lord, to begin to teach us, bring these things to our remembrance, and even stir us with a hunger like we've never had. Now, would you respond with me in your heart, guys? And would you just take about a 30 seconds to a minute and just respond if you're serious back to God? You don't have to talk loud. You can whisper in your heart. You can just talk in your heart. But just say, you know what? I'm just yielding to you. I want to know you more. Holy Spirit, I welcome you and ask you to lead me. Just go ahead and respond to him right now in this place. This is your altar, man. This is like your altar call. This is your response to God. So you don't just say, hey, what did you think of the service? No, I was in the service and God was moving and he convicted me. So Father, no matter what's going on around me, I want to walk in your love. I want to walk in your wisdom. I want to live what you paid for. I want every ounce of grace that you paid for to come on my life and empower me to be what you've always desired. Lord, I'm all in and I thank you for this gospel. And most of all, I thank you for your unfailing love. Guys, that's how I talk to God. That's how I've talked to him my whole Christian life. Rarely do I ask a whole bunch of stuff that I need. I feel so fulfilled in this gospel. When you're surrendered, when you're not self-centered, you feel so fulfilled. There's a completeness in you. It's just amazing. So Lord God, let our motives be pure. Let the fruit be pure. For the pure in heart shall see God. Would you multiply yourself through us by multiplying yourself to us? And would you let all men know who you are, because we've seen you clear. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let no one be under some evangelistic pressure. Let us just be in the joy of spirit-filled living. And let us walk in the light as you're in the light. I pray through this message alone, just tonight in this room, that there be family restorations. I pray that marriages would just start in a good place as of tonight, that spouses would look at each other and just say, you know what? What have we been doing? It's just silly. Let's call it all dead and let's start right here. I just pray, Lord God, that no one would be weary in well-doing in this room. I pray, Lord God, that you restore relationships and families, Lord. I pray that you inspire everybody's heart. Young people, Lord God, that have felt beat down or insignificant or insecure, I thank you tonight's message alone is enough to change that and break that lie.
Yes, Lord.
God, I thank you.
Yes.
I'm just going to say yes to you. I believe I have value in you. I have value through you. And my life is on purpose, and my life is the will of God, and you gave your life so I could live mine in you. That's where I'm living. Teach me what that looks like, because I'm coming after you. That would be an amazing place, guys, to live. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Grandparents, wisdom tonight. Yeah, if you're a son or daughter here and you're challenged by your parents, and some one of your parents doesn't want nothing to do with the gospel, or they seem like they're in the gospel, but they're just living way out of bounds in some ways, don't be angry. Don't hate them. Don't get hurt by them. Just understand they don't know who they are and what they're doing, or they wouldn't be living what they're living. And stop taking it personal. Don't be deceived. Don't let it reflect on your value or a lack of love towards you. You are loved by God. Some people don't have the ability to love. They're bankrupt, and we're expecting of them what they can't even give. Release all men tonight. Release everybody tonight, please. And only find your identity and stability in Christ. And then you can be a good friend, a good parent, a good son and daughter. You can be an amazing spouse. Let's be secure in Christ. Let's wake up every day and nobody owes me a thing. And I'm on the earth for one reason, to shine. And that's why I'm living. Man, that'll change everything. So, Father, I pray this grace in this house. I pray this grace in this region. And I pray that we're Spirit-led, Spirit-living people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. Yeah. All right. So, what's up? We're going to pray for the sick. Can we do it?
Yeah.
Are you sure? It's 8:12. Are we good?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, we're going to pray for the sick, and I want to take a little time. It'll just take a little bit because I want to teach some things. I'm not going to teach a teaching or anything. Just as we're doing it, I'm just going to kind of teach. So the number one reason I've found in my own Christian life as I travel and meet and talk and counsel and connect with people is the number one reason people don't pray for the sick, they're afraid nothing will happen. It's not always their theological misunderstanding or what they believe or don't believe in Scripture. They actually see the need, and a lot of people have the heart to pray for the sick, but they don't step out and actually do it because they're afraid to be in an uncomfortable position, because wonder if nothing happens. That's why they don't. But when you don't pray for the sick because you're afraid nothing will happen, you always have what you're afraid of. That's the dilemma, because these signs follow those that believe. They what? They shall lay their hands on the... So a sign of a believer isn't so much are they going to be healed or not. It's that you actually get your hands on somebody. And the reason you put your hands on people, because God's expecting you to believe that he lives in you. And when you touch, he touches. I did public healing services for a long time years ago. I did 2 a week and opened them to the public. And it was phenomenal. And it was just fun. I was a local pastor, and we just opened it up on Wednesdays morning and a Wednesday evening for public healing services. And people came by word of mouth. People got healed, brought all their friends. It was just phenomenal to watch how it unfolded. And I was in there doing prayer. Now, in the beginning, I made the mistake. I was doing all the teaching and praying for all the sick. So then people marked me as a healing evangelist, a healing anointing, a healing gift, a healing ministry, a man of God that's flowing. You got to get to him. So everybody thought I had to pray for them to be healed, when we're all believers, and the believers lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. So the Lord talked to me about that mistake, and I started to change some things. But the one day I was there, I had all these people I was praying for, and this little 4-year-old girl came up with her mama, and she said, "My little girl drew you something and said she really has to give it to you." She's 4. Guys, she's 4. She has a folded paper, and she had a crayon, and she handed it to me. She said, "Here." I said, "You have something to give me? Did you draw me a picture?" She said, "Well, I drew what I saw." That always gets you going. She's 4. I said, "You drew what you saw?" "Yes, I saw this." I said, "You saw it?" I said, "Let me see what you..." I opened it up. Guess what it was? She traced her hand. Her little 4-year-old hand, she traced it. And then she freehand drew a hand on the outside of it. And she said, "This is what I saw." My heart's pumping. I'm like, What is that? What did you actually see? She said, every time you put your hand on a person to pray, there was this really big hand over yours. 4 years old, innocent. She's watching. People getting touched and healed and things are happening. My hand's there, but guess why I'm laying my hand? Because of the Christ that's in me, and he's the hope of the glory of God. So a four-year-old said, every time you laid your hand, I saw this big hand right on top of yours. And I'm like, oh! So you just want to lay your hands on 1,000 people, right? So these signs follow those that believe. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So the laying our hands on the sick is before they recover. So if you think too much about them recovering, you might pull back your hand and never even start the process of what faith is. Are you with me? So the first step of a believer is praying for the sick, laying hands on the sick. Now, here's why it's so dynamic. The number of people we have in this room, if we start to actively live believing that God's willing to heal through us, and we start loving on people, praying for people, see people. We see people all the time, guys. It's not just in a church service. It's not just being part of an altar ministry. It's not just being part of a ministry team. Every day you wake up and go outside, it's your sphere of influence. So you have a sphere of influence. If you multiply the sphere of influence by everybody that's in this room, it is a mega sea of people. And if we're all effectively just reaching out and being in faith, so you say, yeah, but wonder if they're not healed. But wonder if we fail to believe. Wonder if we don't even start a process. Here's the deal. I don't want to turn faith into a point in time. I want people healed. I know there's suddenlies all through the Bible. Be honest with me, guys. Some of us struggle just to maintain a healthy attitude, and yet we're wondering why we aren't seeing all these dynamic miracles. Let's just start somewhere, right? And get our hands on the sick, believing. So if I touch somebody on the street, it's happened to me a whole bunch where I touch somebody on the street, boom, they're just healed, and they look at me like a deer in a headlight, and they're like, oh my gosh, I've had people swear, what the blank? Are you bleeping kidding me? And you're like, no, it's not a joke. It's real. He loves you. He's really amazing. I've had people say, I don't believe in God. It's okay. I do. Let me just pray. Come on. Don't say no. Please don't say no. And I ask people to not say no. And I just pray. But I've had people say they're somewhat healed. Hey, no kidding, man. I ain't joking. Oh, my gosh. That's a lot better. And they're like trying to convince me. And I'm like, no, that's the plan, but I want it all the way better. So let's thank God for what he's doing. Let's keep praying. I've never had in my whole Christian life, I've never had anybody tell me they were somewhat better and not let me pray again. Then I've had people that do what we're afraid of. They say, nope, still hurts. Does it hurt the same? Yeah, it's the same. Well, listen, I know you said you're on lunch and you were so kind to let me pray. I don't want to just keep praying and praying. I'm just going to believe what I prayed over you. Listen, God loves you. He said, if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I'm excited. We started something today called faith in the kingdom of God's at hand. So here's the deal. When you're getting out of your car, you're going into work, you're going up your steps at home, you check on that thing. You stay mindful of this because I believe that's changing. And when it changes, you're going to know that it was him. Because he loves you. That way I'm not walking to my car defeated. Why didn't God move? Why doesn't he move through me? Where's the anointing in my life? What am I doing wrong? What I'm doing wrong is I'm assessing my theology based on every circumstance instead of settling my theology through Jesus's life and attacking my circumstance with the truth. Are you with me? So I'm just going to pray for the sick. I'm going to pray for the sick. And here's how simple it is. I heard a preacher say this years ago, Randy Clark. I heard Randy Clark say this years ago. He said, listen, all I know is, guys, there's a lot of things we don't have answers for. There's a lot of things that have stumbled us. There's people we've prayed for and we believed and they went off and died and da-da-da. He said, but here's what I've learned and here's what I know. And I'm just going to help pass it on. I've never forgot it. He said, the more people we pray for, the more things we'll see. And that's one of those duh moments. Like, it's like, duh. Instead of overthinking, analyzing, and pulling back our hand to say we don't believe, you get your hand out there. So tonight we're going to pray for the sick. Fair enough? It's the will of God to pray for the sick. I teach on the forgiveness of sin a lot. I teach on righteousness. I didn't hit it hard this time. Tonight we just, I don't even know what we did tonight, but now I do know what we did tonight. But we did it. But a lot of times I preach on righteousness and the fact that he forgave us of sins. Why? If you look in the Bible, he's tied it together so much. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your disease. He bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes we're healed. He says to the paralytic, son, take heart, your sins are forgiven. Hey, that sounds great to us, because we understand, but back then they're like, okay, great, how about getting him up? They did not tear the roof off the building to hear your sins are forgiven. But Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. What'd they do as soon as he said it? He said, why do you always think evil in your minds? Why do you gotta... What is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? But to show you the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, go ahead, son, rise and walk. What did he do? He connected the forgiveness of sin to the rise and walk. It's God coming through Jesus, reconciling men back to himself, not imputing their trespasses, letting mercy triumph over judgment. What's he say in James? Pray for the sick, right? He says, if any of you are sick, let him ask the elders of the church, pray over them, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will, not the anointing of oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if they've committed any sin, that will be forgiven. In that scripture, it doesn't even say they repented. It doesn't even say they confessed their sin. It says the fact that they're healed shows that God has mercy over them, and grace has come, and mercy has triumphed, and love has covered a multitude of sin. Like, where sin has abounded, grace abounds greater. That's not saying sin is permissible, guys. What it's saying is God is greater. Yeah? That's designed to humble my heart and make me never want to live that way. Do you get it? So then he says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be. So he's saying to be healed is to be forgiven. To be forgiven is to be healed. It's all through your Bible. You get it? So it's very important not to live condemned, not to live ashamed, and not to live guilty. It's very important to wear the robe of righteousness that he made for you and just go ahead and look good in it, because it fits you well. Yeah? So let's keep praying for the sick. Let's not turn faith into a point in time, a hit, miss, win, or lose, 30-day money-back guarantee, 60-day try me, see if you like me. Let's just believe God. Let's just pray. And let's believe, and let's touch people and pray and believe. I've parked my car for countless people and got out. I just saw them hurt, and I just parked my car because I had time. Park my car and walk over. Why? Because I believe he's a healer. And then they think you're a radical Christian because they realize after a while, they're like, did you park your car just to come and pray for me? Well, yeah. What? I said, whoa, 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 that's not radical. Let me tell you radical. About 2,000 years ago, God put on the body of a man, hung out for 3 years on the earth, got tempted at every point, yet without sin, died on a cross unjustly, and shed his innocent blood to redeem and restore my life. That's radical. Pulling over my car to pray for you, that's a given. And they go, oh. I like doing fun things. I recreate. I'm a hunter. I fish. I love to fish. I can't even tell you how many people I've prayed for hunting and fishing, parking lots, boat ramps, walking trails. I was turkey hunting a couple years ago. I come off the mountain. I shot this big old gobbler. I'm happy. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Gobbler gave his life for the gospel. I'm going to eat him, right? So I'm not just getting him for a picture, guys. I just use everything. If you know how I live, you'd be amazed. I live in the suburb, and I'm like a mountain man. A lot of meals, more meals than not on my table, nothing came from the grocery store. I grew it in my yard, and I shot it in the woods. It's true. Not one thing on my table came from the grocery store. If we had a shutdown and nobody could go to the grocery store, I could stay in my house easily a year and never come out and come out totally healthy. I'm loaded. And I'm not preparing for last end times. It's just the way we live. I'm a canner. I have abundance of crops. I can. My shelves are loaded. I'm a pretty good hunter. My freezers are loaded. But come off the mountain, I got a turkey. The guy's down the bottom on the trail. I was surprised to see him. I'm 3 miles from my car. 3 miles from where I'm parked. And I see this guy, and he was a little older than me. And he said, "Man, I heard you shoot up there. Was that you that shot?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You didn't get him?" And I turned my coat. He said, "Whoa, you did get him." I had his head hanging out of my jacket. I had this big old pouch jacket. He said, "He must have been a quiet bird." He said, "I never heard him gobble. He couldn't have gobbled." I'm like, "Gobbled? That thing gobbled his head off. He thought I was a sweet little hen." He was like, "Oh, he was coming, man." I said, "That thing gobbled and gobbled." And I was calling him, and I have that little tone. I like, "Yelp, yelp, yelp, yelp." You know, I just got him right in. He's like, "Oh, he's gobbling like crazy." Guy says, "He couldn't have been gobbled." I said, "Sir, right where we're standing is where I heard him. When I went up to set up on him, I could hear him from here." And I ran up. I said, "He gobbled 100 times. I'm not joking." He put his head down. He said, "See, I just know my ears ain't what they used to be. I don't think I'm out here hunting and I'm not hearing them. I'm not hearing him gobble." I said, "Sir, if you didn't hear him, yeah, there's something going on with yours. Here's the deal. We just need to pray. You got to let me pray and don't say no. We're two hunters. We're 3 miles from the road. I got to pray for yours." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, his name's Jesus, man. He changed and saved my life." And I'm just preaching to him. I'm excited. I'm turkey hunting, but I'm never apart from Christ. Like, Christ is first. I'm in Christ turkey hunting. Woo! You get it? Now watch how cool this is. That's my sphere of influence. So I'm out turkey hunting, and because I'm out turkey hunting, I get to meet a guy that I might never met in my life if I wasn't turkey hunting. And you say, "Well, you shouldn't be hunting turkeys. You should be out saving souls." I'm hunting turkeys and saving souls. People going to hell and you out there hunting turkeys. That's religion talking. Come on. Yeah, people are going to hell and I'm out there hunting turkeys. But you pass by me, I'm going to try to save you from that hell. So I prayed for his ears. Loved on him, and a fellow hunter gave me the biggest hug. I just shared the gospel with him. Yeah? I can't tell you how many times that kind of stuff happens. I was up hiking early one morning. I love the cold. I know you guys don't know nothing about cold. I love the cold. Ain't nothing like to me getting up frosty morning, freezing, or snowing. Oh, I'd just be out there walking, just loving it. And I come around a corner and this guy's walking. I said, "Man, you're way back here early in the morning on this cold morning." He said, "Well, if I don't get up early and move, I feel like I'm just going to lock up. Arthritis is taking over my body." I said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Listen, man, we just got to pray right now. Will you let me pray? Please don't say no. You pray for me?" I said, "Right here. Come on, man. Jesus is the real deal." Prayed for him. Relief's coming into his body. It was so beautiful. We're praying, and then I share the gospel with him. He goes to church, but he's not taught this. So he didn't have to be taught this. He caught this because he saw a man living it. That empowers you to teach it. When he sees you walking in it, now you have a voice. Now it's not a theological debate over a dinner table. Now it's, "I just loved you in Jesus, and he just touched your body, so your ears are open wide." You get it? So go do what you do, and as you go. You hear the gospel? As you go. As you what? So just go. Where? Anywhere. Just go. Just get in the car and go. As you go, preach saying, "The kingdom of God's here." Why? By the way you live. And heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out devils. For freely you've, and freely. Okay, so it's 8:28. Let's pray for the sick. Sorry. You'll find two things, lots of sicknesses, but two things when you pray for the sick. You'll have people that know if they're healed because their body will tell them, it'll be obvious to them. And then you'll have people that aren't sure if they're healed because it's something that comes and goes. They might get migraines once a week. Who's ever been out there in a grocery line or something? You hear somebody say, "Oh, I'm just so glad I don't have a migraine. I thought today was going to be the day." Who's been at work and hear somebody talk like that? And they say, "Man, my back's been acting up, and tomorrow I got a this and this, and I'm just so afraid that by noon it's going to be hard to walk because that's the way it's been. So today's my day off, and I feel good, but boy, I'm dread tomorrow." Who's heard people talk like that? When you hear a conversation like that, be thankful you were there and heard. You're not eavesdropping. You just heard. They're just right in front of you talking. Not holding up the line. The person in front of them is paying. Just tap them. "Hey, I couldn't help but to hear what you said about the back thing. That sounded like, man, that's really costing you. Oh, it's terrible. And then they want to go through the whole thing with you, right? You say, listen, no, we're going up to the line soon. There's people here. I don't want to make a scene, but please, my heart got so moved. Please let me pray for you. Don't say no. I say, don't say no. As soon as I say, please let me pray for you, I say, don't say no. And it's just amazing how many people don't say no. And I say, listen, I know it doesn't hurt now. I heard you say that. But this is what I want you to see, that I'm believing that tomorrow when you do that job, you go in there, you even talk to God, it would be amazing. Do you know the Lord? Like, do you ever leave? Well, okay, listen, he wants you to know him, okay? So I'm not trying to push you into anything right now other than this. You go to work tomorrow and you thank God for us praying when you go to work and believe that he's going to touch and change your back. I'm just believing we're going to pray and he's going to. So I give them this little thing to invite them into some kind of awareness or relationship. So what happens when they go to work and something starts to shift and change? What's their first thought? It's that. You say, yeah, but wonder if it don't change. Well, see, that's why you're not even talking to them. You see how we're geared? Well, wonder if it doesn't change. Well, let me tell you, if it doesn't change, the worst I've done is shown them I'm growing, I'm learning, and I'm sincere, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you with me? And it's not going to bother anybody. It's not going to break their heart because they're not even expecting to be healed. They weren't even asking for prayer.
Right.
People say, well, I just don't want to misrepresent the gospel. You're misrepresenting the gospel when you don't love people. Look, if love never fails, why do we fail to love? So let's just get out there and start loving people. So it's a win-win. It's a win-win. Are you following me? So tonight in this room, let's do it this way. We'll do this first group. And please, please, like we came this far together. I mean, you let me just boo, 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 all night. All night I was like boo, 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 all night. I was like all night. So let's just finish out and go all the way in together. So, like, don't hold back, okay? If you have a condition in your body, a sickness, a diagnosis, something they found on an x-ray, but you don't have tangible physical symptoms, there'd be no way in the natural to identify you're healed except just simple, sincere faith in your heart, but you'd not be able to check something because it's nothing to check. It's internal. You just found something on an ovary through an annual checkup. You just found this in your bloodstream, blah, 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 blah. But it's something there, something you take meds for, but you really can't. It's not symptomatic. You follow me? That's the first group. With just those folks, I want you to stand to your feet. You'll be able to stand because it's not symptomatic. So just stand to your feet. Please, don't hold out on me. Don't look, I'm a good fisherman. Don't make me have to go fishing. Just stand up in faith. Please, anybody else, come on. And don't make these inner vows like, well, every time I stand up in healing service, nothing ever changes, and then I feel stupid. I've met all that stuff out there, guys. Don't do that tonight. This is a whole brand new night, and it's a fresh night, and we preach the gospel fresh, and he loves us. Okay? For some reason, I'm waiting for like three more people. I don't know. I'm just here. I'm waiting for three people. Please get up. Okay? Okay. Ooh, I got a bonus. I got four. Good. No, I'm hearing. I just heard three. So we are at least three. I got four. I'll take four just because if you stood up, then you needed to. Why did I do that? Why am I waiting? Because this is real. It's not a gimmick. It's not an emotional thing. It's just, it's real. And God's about to move. And he wants you on your feet. Yeah? Because standing is faith, right? Standing is good. Standing is faith. Okay, we got everybody. Here's what we're going to do. If you're sitting near them, just tap them, get their attention. Don't smother them. Just say, hey, can I hold your hand or can I just touch you on the elbow? Just don't smother them. Just be gracious right now. Say, hey, I'm going to believe with you, okay? You know, finger lock. I don't know. Just make contact. The people that stood up, here's all I want you to do tonight. I don't want you to grit your teeth and say you're trying to receive. Don't pray in tongues. Don't rock. I just want you to very calmly in your heart stand there and say this. I know you love me or you'd have never sent your son. That's all I want you to do tonight. I want you to realize you have to love me or you'd have never put Jesus on the cross. Thanks for loving me. Yeah? Don't let the sickness, don't let the symptom, don't let the thing you're facing ever challenge his love. His love is settled. Christ was crucified. The people that are praying, here's all I want you to do right now. With sincerity, we're not even asking them why they stood. We don't need to tonight. I want you to just say, be made whole in Jesus' name. No more symptoms. No more sickness. No more weakness. In the name of Jesus. Complete wholeness in your body because he loves you. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, who sees we can do this and be sincere? Yeah? Now, the people just sit down. Now, here's the thing. You people that stood up, as you find out that changed, as time reveals, as the test reveals, let pastor know. Let somebody know. Put something out there to let people know, hey, that night we prayed, I just want you all to know, wow, God touched that situation, changed that thing, and I'm healed. Yeah? Just let people know. But now here's the thing. That one's not the one you want to run into because it's easier because, well, that way I can just, you know. Some people think that's an easier topic. Okay, if they don't know if they're healed, that's the ones I want because then it's not like nothing. No, it's just what people do. Don't do that. So this is our next group. So our next group is what? Our next group is people that would know they're healed. Now, here's the deal. I didn't invite the worship team. They're amazing, but I didn't invite them up. Why? I'm going to make the room as dry as I can. No, I am. I am. Because I want us to understand that the kingdom of God is in us and the atmosphere is who he is in us. We don't have to always. Atmosphere is amazing. I like atmosphere. God likes atmosphere, and there's times for it. But when you're in Walmart parking lot and you see somebody hobbling to their car and you can tell they're really hurting and you're nervous and you have the conviction to talk to them, but you're struggling doing it, that doesn't feel like atmosphere. It's not like this young lady up there flowing. I mean, if you could pull her out of your pocket in a little box and have her a mini and just there she is. Just, oh, that would be amazing. And we'd probably all be more anointed. But you do not have her in that box. It's just you, your feelings, your apprehensions, your convictions, and them and their look. You just got to get past all that. You got to be a Christian Nike commercial and just do it. Just do it. Just prove to yourself you're dead to yourself. Just say, excuse me, sir. Man, I don't mean to sound nosy or weird. You just look like you're really favoring that right side. Is that your hip? I feel like your hip joint has been going out. And you'd be amazed how if you'll make contact like that and at least start communicating, how you'll hear as soon as you communicate. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're overwhelmed with a word of knowledge and you didn't even know you were going to have one. And all of a sudden you say, were you just told you need a hip replacement? And you're like, what? And then he's like, how do you know that? Well, I didn't know that. I just saw, and as soon as I spoke, well, let me just tell you what. I want to pray for you. Please don't say no. I saw that, and when I mentioned your hip, I saw that you needed a replacement. I felt like the Lord showed me that. And if he showed me that, I just believe he wants to heal you. He's that real. Do you know the Lord? Do you know it? Well, listen. I believe he wants to heal you. Can we pray? It'll take 5 seconds. And that's what I want to teach you tonight. Who's ever prayed for the sick in here? Okay, now you'll laugh when I say this because you'll know it's right. When we pray for the sick, our biggest challenge is getting self-conscious, and we put all our focus on our prayer. And we try to pray right, powerful, anointed. And that's why a lot of times nothing happens, because it's not your prayer, it's not works. It has nothing to do with your prayer. It has to do with your faith in his finished work. It has to do with your faith in his love and what he accomplished. Watch, be healed in Jesus' name is plenty when there's a revelation. Pain leave. Body be whole. We're trying so hard because we're sincere, but we think it's our prayer that's producing the fruit. And then it's works. And if it's the prayer, then we all should be in prayer college. Be honest with me. We get self-conscious a lot of times when we go to pray for the sick and we think about our prayer and we make our prayer the most important thing. Instead of simple faith in his finished work and his absolute undeniable love for the person we're praying for. So when we do this little exercise that the Lord showed me to do a long time ago, I do it everywhere I go. It's so fun. I give you 5 to 6 seconds to pray because I love you so much that you can't possibly get in trouble. You can't get in works. You can't get self-conscious. In 5 seconds, you can't mess this up. Now, if I give you 15 seconds... I'm sorry. You know how we just try hard because we're sincere? But sometimes we even emphasize our voice. We put on our prayer language, like voice, not tongues, prayer language. Like we're just talk normal, but then we go to pray. Father God, I just thank you right now. And I just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we sound it in our voice. We're like, Father, that is not a good sign. Probably very little's about to happen. Sorry. You just pray for him. Don't we do this stuff, man? Come on, man. He's up here. Oh, forgive me. Oh, you're forgiven, buddy. That messed me up right there. Who knows what we're saying happens to us? It's not because we're evil and messed up. It's because we're sincere and we want. But somehow we get tricked into thinking it's our prayer and it's us. And we think like that is like powerful. I'll tell you what's powerful is the finished work of the cross. What's powerful is the name and blood of Jesus. What's powerful is the love that God has for people. And you have to understand that's why he heals, because he loves people. It's not because he's about to amaze the whole doctors and office and all the emergency room. That's what we pray. Father, would you come right now and just astound all these? No, he comes for one reason. He loves the person you're believing for. Whatever else happens through that, great. But never miss that he loves the person you're praying for. Yeah? So we're going to pray tonight. We don't have music on purpose. You won't have music most of the time in your life except music in your heart. Yeah? Man, I stop people and I talk to people. I'll be just pumping gas. There's somebody on the other side. I'm just like, hey, man, how you doing today? You good? And sometimes I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but when I say, you good, I'll hear something. Yeah. I'll say, man, has your knee been bothering you, especially your left knee? Are you concerned about it? What's your job? What do you do? I feel like your knee, who in the blank are you? Some people say, are you psychic? Well, kind of, but not really. I'll explain in a minute. Can we pray? Don't say no. Military guy, tore ACL. He's walking down the street. Military dude. Big dude, military. Prayed for him. What the blank? Are you kidding me? They wanted to do surgery and take a tendon and replace and do, and I'm just thinking it's going to go away and it ain't going away. What the blank did you do? Like, that's all he knows. Because he's going, what? He said, what the blank? It's not like, no, ah. It wasn't like Jesus, God, and the three monkey thing. Like, that's all he knows. It wasn't like, what? What the blank? Whoa. It didn't jump back on him. Did God know that he would say that? Or was the Lord caught off guard? Was the Lord like, grabbing Jesus' ears, smother, muffling Jesus? Did the Lord know that was coming? Is he still healed? Yes. Then that probably shouldn't work us up so bad. It's all he knows, and in a minute that can change when he changes. But the fact that God healed him in the midst, knowing what he'd say, fascinates me. Sat a guy with a crooked foot. He had like a club-type foot thing in the back of a truck in a parking lot. And two rough guys with him, man. They were drinking. They had plans. They was rough boys. So listen, man, let's just pray for your foot. What? You blanking want to pray for my blanking foot? Yeah? Like God's just going to blank and something blanking? And these guys threw so many blanking blankings out. It was. I said, yeah, that's the plan, man. Let's just pray. Prayed. It was one of them beautiful things, man, where his foot just fixed. I mean, just fixed. Now we got serious blanks and beeps. No, like you have no idea. Like bleep, bloop, bloop, beep, bloop, 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 blurs, bloop, bloop. And I'm like, guys, whoa. Listen, whoa. Yeah, but what the blank? How in the blank? This can't blank and be possible. What? Look at his blanking foot. And I'm like, well, I see his foot. So in a minute, you can teach him and share. People say, well, did you lead them all to the Lord? Well, you got to understand that's religion just challenging constantly. Well, did you lead them to the Lord? Well, did they get saved? You're missing the whole beauty of a process of God sowing and watering and bringing increase. And we're just making our whole goal some religious evangelistic mentality to get a decision. Whatever city, Luke 10, whatever city you're in, what city? That covers it. Heal the sick there. What sick? And tell them the kingdom of God is here. Why is that not simple? And if you ask them if they know Jesus and they tell you no, you say, well, do you want them? Man, listen. I've had people look at me and say, that's what I see in you. You just, there's something about you, man. And I'm like, well, there's a confidence. There's obviously a love. No, I feel the love. But it's like, you know him, don't you? I'm like, I've never really known him. I didn't know if he was really real. No, he's real, man. He's right here. No, I believe. Well, do you want to know? Yeah. Yeah? Get him saved. If I can, I teach him water baptism. I've taken people to bathtubs, swimming pools. I've baptized people in hotel swimming pools. I've went in and asked if we could use their swimming pool. I've never been told no. Done creeks, rivers. I hold them under. When the bubbles stop, I bring them up. I'm in faith. I tell them, you're going to die. No, you're dying. Your biggest problem's been you, and you're dying. Are you ready? Yeah. You wait about 40 seconds after the last convulsion, you got them. And then you bring them up. New life through Jesus Christ. And if they don't, we know where they went. Just in the nick of time, they got right. So it's a win-win. It's a win-win. They're either going to die to live or they're just going to go be with Jesus. They ain't going to live none of this. We do it right. I took an 18-year-old boy in a hotel room and put him in the bathtub. His grandma was out in the hallway. She just, oh, Jesus. She's praying in tongues. Oh, Jesus. She's been praying for that boy. It's the only reason this probably happened, praying grandma. And the Lord was kind enough to let her. I talked to the boy, intervened, ministered, cut him off, talked to him, just intercepted him while he was walking. He got broke. Who knows, it was time. It's not because I'm a great evangelist. Somebody sowed. Grandma's praying. I get to reap, Rick, where I haven't even sown. And I get to rejoice together with everybody. And an 18-year-old boy said, I do. I want this Jesus. I said, well, listen, my room's right down the hall. I'm going to fill the tub. We're going to water baptize you. I'll explain it. It's a big deal. See, if you're out there just getting decisions, they won't go to water if they're just praying a prayer to go to heaven most of the time. And sometimes they're praying a prayer just because they can go then. And you'll leave them alone. That was me. I'd have prayed that prayer with you when I was younger just to get rid of you. But you take them to water. Shoo, doggy. I took him in there and I put that boy under that water. And when I brought him up, there was such a holiness of God that came in there that I just backed out. I just backed out. He came up out of the water and went, and I said, that's your father. I said, that's your father. Welcome home. Yeah. I just backed out and I closed the door. I didn't even know what to do. I mean, they just don't teach you this stuff, that God's actually going to come. So I went out in the hallway with Grandma. Oh, Jesus. We was both out there. We looked like banty roosters in the barnyard. Oh, Jesus. It was a long time. It was a long time. It was 40 minutes or so. We were just talking out in the hall. And I was thinking, should I go in there? I'm like, no, it felt like the Holy of Holies. I ain't going in there. That boy came out. He didn't even look like the same young man. His face was glowing. He was soft and kind. And I said, he's your father. He went, yeah. And I just held him and cried. And Grandma's just, oh, so fun. Those guys at the truck, you have to understand that that's an encounter. That's a vital seed in their life. And they're throwing bleeps and blanks and blips. But God just revealed himself and they're overwhelmed and they don't know how to communicate it. It's all they know. You say, well, did you lead them to the Lord? You don't understand. We gave them the Lord. And now they have to deal with that. And the Holy Spirit has something to work with. And you talk to them and you say, do you know him? Do you want to know him? And they might not be right there. They might just say, well, man, I got to think about this. This is it. And you just leave them with a couple lines of conviction and sincere love, and you just leave them. Why? Because there's an army of us out here that are supposed to be living this way. So if I'm sowing, somebody should be right behind me with the water bucket. And then God's right behind them with the increase. Are you with me? I'm preaching good in your church. Okay, we're losing time. If you're sick in your body tonight, without exaggeration, if you were healed, you would know without exaggeration. I don't want you trying to say the right thing because we're looking for the right answer. I don't want you trying to make the little girl with the big brown eyes that prayed for you so sincere feel good and not be like, I can't break her heart. She's so sincere. Yeah, I'm fine. That's called lying. Revelations 19, you lie, you fry. I don't want you to fry. I want you healed. If you're sick in your body, is there anybody that wants prayer tonight and you can't stand, or it would be hard to stand, and you can't stand, or it'd be hard to stand? Let me know if you're here, because I don't know if there's somebody like that here. It's hard to stand? You'd rather stay sitting? Oh, you can stand? Oh, okay. Is there anybody that if you stood, it would be a challenge, you'd rather just sit and get prayer where you're at? Okay, nobody in a wheelchair, nobody impaired, nobody... I'm just asking because we don't want to miss you if you want prayer. Okay. If you're sick in body, just like she's doing, if you would know it, if you're healed, you'd be able to sincerely check and you'd know if you were healed. I need you to stand to your feet. If you have any sickness in your body, just stand to your feet. Please stand to your feet. Please don't hold out on us tonight. Stand to your feet. You got arthritis symptoms and you know it's there. You can feel it. You can tell it. It's stiff. It's sore. It's painful. It's in your hips. It's in your knees. It's in your elbows. Please jump to your feet. Don't stay in your chair. I heard there's a couple folks with arthritis symptoms that you stayed sitting. I need you up. Good. That was good. Thanks for responding. This is good. I feel in my heart we got a bunch of folks up. Sometimes people don't get up for different reasons. It's not because they're bad people. Sometimes they just talk themselves out of getting up. And then the Lord will show you that they're out there. I feel real good that we got our people. Yay. Yeah, that's why I'm stalling. I'm listening, whether you know it or not. I'm a real good fisherman, I promise. Jesus, now I wouldn't hear if he didn't speak, but he does. He'll speak to you. And wow, this is good. Okay, so we're going to pray for these people. So here's what we're going to do. In a minute, somebody's going to pray for you. When they're done praying, we're only going to pray for like 5-6 seconds or so. I'll explain it. But all I want you to do is what that first group did. Father, you have to love me or you'd have never sent your son. Thanks for loving me. Can you do that tonight? Can you actually believe through the cross that he loves you apart from your challenges, your life, or your circumstances? Can you separate all that tonight and say, listen, I'm going to get rooted and grounded tonight. I'm going to know you love me or you'd have never sent your son. I'm going to let faith tonight work through love, not be driven by need. Not trying to be healed. I'm being loved by God. Can we do that tonight? Okay, now here's the deal. I need you, if you're standing, just put one hand high in the air. This isn't worship. It's not works. It's just identification. It's so we don't lose you in a minute. Keep your hand up high. Leave it up till somebody claims you and says, hey, I'm going to stand with you. As soon as they claim you and stand with you, put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if you're waiting to be recognized. The people sitting, if you're uncomfortable doing this, I strongly encourage you to join the team. I want you up if you're very, very nervous. That would be amazing to have you on the roster. Jump up, go find somebody. Anybody with a hand up and say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. We're going to do that in a minute together. We're going to do this as a house. We're going to learn together. We're going to experience this together. It's going to be so fun. Okay, we still have a few hands raised. Only have your hand up if you're waiting for someone. I got two people in the back that are waiting, three, four people in the back that need somebody to run to them and say, hey, I'll stand with you. We getting them? We got them? Okay, great. I think we got them. Is there anybody unaccounted for that we're missing? Nope, we got you. Okay, this is awesome. Okay, do this, 3 seconds, 3 second version. Don't give them a long story. The person that's going to pray with you. And if there's two or three people around one person, that's okay, but one person just take the lead and everybody else agree, okay? So it doesn't get confusing. Tell the person that's going to pray with you why you stood up. Just give them the 3 second version. Well, I got those arthritis pains. My knees are degenerated. I got scoliosis in my back. I got a torn shoulder. Just tell him the 3 second version. Tell her the 3 second version. Just tell them so they know. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? As soon as you got it, I want you to look back up here. We're going to do this as a family. Don't pray yet. There's a reason we did this. Y'all got it? You good? Man, you guys are good. Okay, now here's the deal. Matthew 17 says this. They prayed for an epileptic boy. They didn't see him healed. He's still manifesting, thrashing around. Jesus comes. The father fell down, worshiped Jesus, said, could you come heal my son? He's epileptic, often falls in the fire, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus heals the boy. The disciples say, why couldn't we do this? He says, because of your unbelief or your little faith. And then he says, but truly I tell you this, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the, okay, so he has to be talking about sickness here as well as anything else, because epilepsy was the reason they asked the question, right? So he's responding to an epileptic situation that hadn't changed, and he's saying, but if you have faith, you will say to the mountain. So he's calling the epilepsy a mountain in the boy's life. So arthritis could be the mountain. Degenerate knees could be the mountain. Herniated disc could be the mountain. A torn shoulder, rotator cuff could be the mountain, right? So we're going to say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will what? And nothing, what? Nothing shall be impossible for, he doesn't say God, he says for you. Amen. It's scripture for you. Amen. Meaning I'm in you and I'm with you and I called you to this, so I'm backing it up. So tonight we're going to say to the mountain, so whatever they told you in that 3 seconds, it's why I did that. So that when you pray, you have faith in what you're believing for. So it would look like this. We're going to give 5 to 6 seconds to pray. Remember, we're not going to put our faith in our prayer. We're not going to get tongue-tied. We're not going to get wordy. We're not going to go, Jesus! We're just going to do like this. Arthritis, you completely leave. No more pain and no immobility in Jesus' name. Watch this. Rotator cuff. Be completely restored, no more pain and total rotation. Father, thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Who knows we can do this and be sincere? And be sincere and have faith and do it in 5-6 seconds of sincerity. Who knows that we can do this? If it's anything else, we could get self-conscious. We strive, we struggle, and it's all about us trying to get a result instead of us just believing his love. You watch and see what happens in this room. In 5 seconds of just believing where we get out of the way and just believe his love for people. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for 5 seconds, 6 seconds maybe, and I'll say, okay, guys, wrap that up. And you just, in the name of Jesus, I usually acknowledge God's love for people. I just choose to do that. It's not a technique. It's not a rule other than in the name of Jesus. Really big deal. So after we do that, I want you to just, if you were prayed for, I want you to just, as they're praying, acknowledge you know God loves you or he'd have never sent a son. So when they say amen and they're done praying, without exaggeration, no music blaring, we're not playing your favorite song, I want you to just sincerely check your bodies and do whatever it means. Some of you have learned to live a little protective. Just don't do a calisthenic. It's not physical therapy. Grace will let you know. Just do something that normally would... and just check it, okay? We had a lady recently, she found steps and she ran up steps and she came down crying. Her husband was crying harder than her. I said, what's going on over there? He said, I haven't seen her do that for 22 years. It's fun. We've had husbands crying, rotating their arms, wives looking going, oh, that's my hubby, crying because they dress him like a Ken doll because he can't do his shoulders. And now he's throwing on a coat off and on, and they're going, ooh, just fun stuff. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to take the time to check your bodies. When you know you're healed, I want you to just simply go like this so I can locate you and see you. When you know you're healed, and I'll be coaching and just kind of keeping in touch, but you go like this so we know. But make sure you know, and you're not just a quick snap, oh, yay, I'm healed. I want you to check it. I'm not going to be nervous. I'm not sitting here counting results. I'm not like, oh my gosh, I hope somebody's healed soon. God's going to move all through this room. I want you to let me know when you're healed. There's a reason. We're going to get a few testimonies. Watch. If you're somewhat changed, 30, 40, 50, 70, 80%, just tell your person, hey, I'm like 60% better. No joke. Like, this is cool. 60%. Say, wow, thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And then pray the same prayer you prayed. Don't grab for straws. Don't get into works. Just, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. Arthritis, you leave. Every trace of you go. No more pain. In Jesus' name. Get them to check, okay? We'll take a few testimonies. If your body doesn't change, you don't hear that talked about much in healing services. You say, well, that's negative. No, I've seen people not change when I've prayed. I don't change what I believe. And I continue to release faith over their situation. So watch what we're going to do tonight. If your body doesn't change, nobody has permission to sign off, write off, get analytical. Wow, here we go again. I knew I shouldn't have stood up. This happens to me every time. Now there'll be 25 people testify, and I'm standing here. There's got to be something wrong, something blocking my healing. I don't know why I don't get healed. Turn it all off. And don't be eyeballing your person thinking, I wish they'd have given me somebody else to pray for me. Because when they walked up, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel nothing when they walked up. And don't you be looking at some lady that says, I'm healed, and then trying to snatch her girl. I want that girl because the river's flowing through her. Hey, bud, can you go over and pray for that man? Honey, stop. We're not doing that. I want you to keep your person. You're with your person tonight. If you don't notice any change in your body, you stay thankful. You thank God that they touched you and prayed. You listen to a couple testimonies, okay? Now watch. And you say, wow, Lord, you are such a healer. And you love us so much. And God, thank you for what you're doing in this room and doing in me. And then check your body again. And listen to a testimony and check your body. Now watch what's going to happen tonight. Like popcorn in a bag, kernels are just going to keep popping. It's going to be fun. There'll be people standing there, and we've already took four testimonies, and all of a sudden they'll go, whoa. And I say, did it just happen? It just changed, just now. Why? Because we're not changing our mind. We're not letting faith be determined by our results. We're letting faith be determined by His Word and His life. And we're staying in what we believe. And it's going to teach us dramatically. Does that make sense? So you all ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Okay, and I know this is going to be hard to believe, but those 5-6 seconds I give you, I'm not going to pray over top of you or say a word. I'm actually going to get quiet for like 6 seconds. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. No, it'll be easy. Are you all ready? Look at your person like they're really special and like they're worthy of Jesus's blood. Like, give them some warm look. No, are you ready? Are you ready? You know what you're praying for. 5-6 seconds. Go ahead right now. Give them the kingdom of God. Pray over them. Thank you. Okay, that's like 10 seconds. It felt good and it just seemed right. So go ahead, just wrap that up. Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. Yep, just start wrapping that up, bringing that to a close in the name of Jesus. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Just receiving God's love. He loves me, or He'd have never sent His Son. Now, all through this room, if you were prayed for, see, we don't have any music. This is just raw, real stuff. I actually do this on purpose. The Lord told me to do it this way. Start checking your bodies for me all over the room. When you know your body's changed, when you know you're healed, you let me know. Some people know pretty quick. Some people just have to make sure. Some people are actually, you know for sure that quick? Okay, but check it. Is it changed? Yeah, you know for sure? Beautiful. You know for sure, sir? You do? Oh, this is good. Some people do. They know really quick. Check your bodies. Take your time. Stay focused. Stay with us. We're going to be wrapped up soon. Don't get familiar with this stuff. We're learning. We're supposed to be empowered to live this way, right? Check your bodies. Anybody else? You know you're healed. You know you're completely healed. Anybody else? Yeah? For sure. For sure. Good. You? Who? Or are you just checking? You're checking. Anybody else? Anybody else that I missed? Who's going to share a testimony for me? Who has a testimony? Who raised their hand and said they were healed? Yeah? You did? You are? What is it? Okay, can you explain? What happened to your knees? What about your knees? Okay. Do they hurt often? Is it easy to find pain if you look for it? All the time. Okay, so you don't even have to look hard. Like, you can find pain if you look normally. Well, you don't have it now. I get it. But before you got prayer, could you find it easy if you looked for it? It was always there before? Always. You have no pain whatsoever.
In the name of Jesus.
No? That's beautiful. I just ask those questions so we understand. Guys, knees hurt all the time. She can always find it. It's there. She can't find it at all. As soon as they prayed, boom, it's gone. What happened to you?
Like that
because it was bothering you during my great preaching.
I was in a car accident, so my top of my back was hurt.
Okay.
It hurts when I go like that.
Okay.
Go all the way, and it does not hurt now at all.
You don't have any pain. You got full. You feel good motion. No pain whatsoever. You weren't able to do that without pain. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because I take long, and Holy Spirit's excited. Yeah. Yeah, but before they prayed, if you'd have done that, you'd have known it. Oh my goodness, okay, all evening she was in pain, completely gone. Who else? You know you were healed. Who else? Give me a testimony. You know you were healed? Did it just happen or did it happen right away? Just happened, so you're one of my kernels of popcorn. No, this is awesome, we're gonna fill the bag. What happened? Okay. So you know because it's your back from what it was like, and right now, it's, you couldn't? It's all gone. You know it's changed. I see that in your face. I can. It's like really cool. Yay, God. Who else? Who else? Who else? Van? Let me ask something quick. Who's changing while we're talking, and who's changing like right now? It just happened in the last like 2, 3, 4 minutes. Yeah, good. This is beautiful. This is, you're my kernel. It's a popcorn. Go ahead. A month. Several months, 24/7 kind of thing. Like if you look for it, you could find it. You didn't have to look. It was just there. Okay. He said he didn't even have to look. It was just there for several months. So what's going on? Just not feeling it at all. And you haven't not felt it at all for months. Beautiful. See, this isn't hype. We're not ramping up the atmosphere. We ain't rah-rahing. It's just simple faith in him and us guys believing he'll move if we believe. It's just beautiful. Who else has a testimony and who knows they were changed? Yeah, you were checking your shoulders.
And it started out at about 60%.
Okay. He is a flame of fire. So you have no pain. Are you getting a better range of motion? Let me see it. Yeah? Okay. You wouldn't have been able to do that? Show me what it would have been like before they prayed. What was your max? What could you do? How high could you go? You couldn't go back. That would have really cost you, right? That would have bit you. Could you go straight up before? Okay, now put them down. Just go up for me. Oh, that's different, ain't it? Oh, that's so good. Amen. Yeah, I got all hot. That's just a manifestation, God's presence. That's a beautiful thing, right? Oh, my goodness. 100%. Who else? Were you? You have what?
Less pain in my back.
About 50? Okay, who prayed for you? Jesus is in you. Yeah. Will you pray one more time for him and just pray the same prayer you prayed and let's see what's going on? Who else knows they're healed? And we're going to share another testimony and then we'll move on and do something. You know you're healed for sure. Yeah. Oh, I believe you, girl. Woo! Did it happen right away or as you believed and heard some testimonies? Boom. Boom, it just changing. So it's done. It's a good deal. It's like different knees right now. Okay. Anybody else have a testimony? There's a lot of hands keep popping up. What's going on? Like a pinched nerve in his shoulder. You have no pinching, no nothing. What'd you get attacked by? Three women of God? You didn't have a chance. You're like 90% right now. Beautiful. This is awesome. Let me see your hands. Just be patient with me. We're wrapped up. We'll be out of here soon. Let me see your hands. If your body was healed tonight when we prayed, or definitely noticeably better, all at one time, let me see your hands. Go like this all at one time. Just so people realize God's moving. Because we only took a couple testimonies. Come on, that's beautiful. Okay, here's what we're closing with. Now, I need to do this, and I don't want you feeling funny, strange, nothing, and you ain't getting a new person. Who would tell me you were prayed for, and you've been listening to testimonies, you've been checking your body this whole time, but it still hasn't changed at all. It's the same as it was the first time we prayed. Who hasn't changed? Let me see who you are. Okay, can you all stand up for me again? Is your person still here? Because you're not getting a new person. No, your person's plenty. It's faith in Jesus. So if your person's here, make sure when they're here, when you know they're with you, put your hand down. But I'm looking at where you're at and who you're at. Is your person still here? Did they leave? Did they bail out on you? Okay, they got you. Good. Everybody got their person? Who was with you? Oh, you got her? Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. This is very important. I want you to just do 5-6 seconds again, but watch this. Pray the same thing you prayed the first time. I'm not saying you have to quote and be detailed, but don't grab for straws. Don't try to pray a better prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just say to the mountain, tell it to move, and we're going to watch what happens. This is just the group that nothing had changed. Are you ready? 5 seconds. Go ahead. Pray for them. Same prayer. Jesus' name. God, you're good. Okay, you can start wrapping that up. We stayed true to the 5-second thing this time. Yeah, thank you, Father. No, this is good. Jesus is teaching us tonight. Stay with us. Thank you, Father. Okay, y'all done, right? Amen? Okay, just that group. Start checking your bodies. Did something change? Did it change? Completely? Completely. Okay, whoa. We'll find out what happened, but let me ask you this. Up until right there, oh, look at you. No, this is a real big deal. I see it. Oh, my goodness. Now, watch this. All this time we've prayed, and she's so sweet. You look at her, you can see Jesus. Nothing has changed in whatever it is she's about to share. And she's listening and checking, and she's got a wonderful woman of God praying for her. And watch. We're not reading into it. We're not changing her mind. We're not jumping ship. We're not intellectualizing. We're just staying in a place of believing that he loves us, he's good, and what he did, he did. And all of a sudden, something that didn't change up until now, we prayed one more time for 5 seconds, and it totally changed. Now, what was it?
Oh, no. 3 months ago, I had a palm frond go into my ear, and the doctors told me that I could only hear for 25% for the rest of my life. And the first time that she prayed, I could barely hear her whatsoever, like barely. And I was just having faith that she was praying Jesus over me.
She was 75% hearing loss in your ear.
Yeah, and then
and they said it's something that would be the rest of your life.
And the second time she prayed, like I heard every single word.
So you know that you know the sound of sound. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, you're good. You see what's wrong with us? He's good and we believe it. Look at her crying. See, when it's your ear, you know if you can hear. And it didn't change until right then. That's a big deal. That means we never change faith. It's not a point in time. My group, that nothing had changed. Does anybody else change at all that time or somewhat or all the way? Anybody else in that group? You change somewhat?
Yeah, my niece.
Okay, for sure. Like how much did you change? 50%?
This one's still fine. This one's probably 80%.
Oh my goodness, so you're 80% better? And the other one's not even, you can't even find nothing right now. Oh my goodness, this is something that didn't change until right then. Who else raised their hand right here? Somebody, yes sir. Can you tell me what happened? Okay, so it was back. Okay, so you're noticeable change for you because it's your body, you're just telling us it's definitely changed. Oh, she's they're whispering and talking, she's hearing, and she's just up here crying. I don't know about you, but I love this stuff. Like, why wouldn't we want to just pray for people and see God do this stuff? Like, we can, do you realize this is you guys praying for you guys? Do you realize that? This isn't because I carry this and I'm anointed and you're under the umbrella of what I walk in. That's what people try to tell me. We're believers. And these signs follow those that believe. Because if we just keep believing you're under the umbrella of what I walk in, then we'll never be effective outside of our meetings. And the devil would love us to believe that. And the Word wants us to believe something else. Who else changed? You did?
My husband's watching at home in Canada.
Oh. Jesus. Now watch, watch, watch. Either he's out of his mind watching on TV and doing this at home, or he's full of faith in Jesus as Lord. Yeah! Woo! Oh my goodness, I love it. Who else? That last group. Anybody else? You changed that last group? Something changed? Noticeable relief. Oh, it's beautiful. Father, what you're doing in him, I thank you. It continues complete restoration. Stretch your hands to him, guys. Complete restoration. Everything that was prayed over him coming to pass even this night. Father, he'll sleep undistracted. Undistracted. Whatever position is comfortable, he can be in it. God, I thank you. He'll wake and realize his back is brand new. I declare it over him and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who else? Who else? You, young man? Hey, I appreciate you, man. You don't realize, but when I'm up here preaching, I don't miss much. But your heart is so open to God, and you have a teachable heart. And your face highlighted to me probably 6-7 times while I was preaching. And I felt like God was speaking to you like as a son tonight, but you had ears to hear him. Follow your convictions tonight. Everything Jesus spoke to you, everything that you were like, yeah. It can be your reality. You can walk in it. Amen. I just felt like God was revealing his love for you and that you're teachable. Keep your heart guarded and stay in that open place, son. Okay? Just cheering you on, man. Now, what happened to your body? Okay. You just feel it changed. Okay. All service. And you don't have that feeling going on right now? You feel like really better? So you're going to have to get in your car and drive again to go home? Stretch your hands to him, guys. It's believed, the body of Christ. Father, that he drives unfazed, that he gets out of the car, and all he can do is laugh and cry because you have changed this thing and you love this young man. Lord, you highlighted his heart to me. You showed me he was teachable, and you're doing a good work on the inside of him. I hear the Lord say to you, son, don't strive. Don't get into works and don't judge yourself. Be judged by God and his righteousness and let Holy Spirit do a work in you. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't be your own worst enemy. But at the same time, have a sincere heart and a diligence in your life. But don't be your worst enemy. Don't be critical on your life. Thank God for the things he's doing in you and watch how you grow in him. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Bless you, man. Anybody else in my last group that nothing had changed until right then and now you know something changed? Because we already got a bunch. That was fun. So what's that teaching us? That we're right on track, that we don't change our mind. We never let go of faith. What we set out believing, we keep believing. Okay, so where does that leave the people that didn't raise their hand yet? And they still have every symptom they had when we first prayed. Where does that leave them? Here's where it leaves you. When you leave here tonight, wow, thank you for loving me, Father. I appreciate that person that prayed over me in faith. You crawl in bed, even if that hip bites you like it does every night. Don't say, oh man, I thought tonight was going to be my night. I don't know when I'm ever going to get healed. No. You crawl in bed, that thing bites you. You say, Father, I so thank you for what you're doing in me. Your love through the cross is undeniable, and I thank you that this faith is working through that love. You love me, and you're doing a work in my body, and I appreciate it. That's how the hip changes. Amen? So everybody leaving here in faith, everybody going to bed in faith, everybody waking up in faith. Amen? Amen. Okay, it's not too bad. 9:21, little late. Would you do me a favor? Lift your hands to heaven with me together, and we're closing right now. We're just closing. Would you thank God from your heart for him teaching us, healing us, empowering us, and loving us? Would you do that? And just take a minute corporately, but yet personally, and just thank God for loving us, teaching us, healing us, and strengthening us. Lord God, thank you for this night. Thank you for every person that's being healed and restored. Thank you for everybody that was healed and restored. Thank you for convicting our hearts and teaching us the way through your word and through Jesus' life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen?